In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, we're back in the morning. What's happening, boys? All right? Three sexy bastards by you.
Tell you what, by the
way. Wait a minute till I finish licking my lips.
Mate, they're terry, by the
way.
They're terry, man.
A wee bit hot, eh?
No.
They look good on your chin, big man. Stu Finlay, what's happening?
All right, with the time.
What was you doing for a bit? How are you, mate? All right?
Can't complain. Back in Scotland for a few weeks.
What about that American accent he was putting on before you came on? Hey, dude.
So you're loving it.
I can't believe you bowled up on a skateboard.
Come on, bro.
What's the pattern of that? Have you been called a douchebag yet?
Honestly, I'm kind of embarrassed that you don't mean it, but you sort of get like into their sort of way of speaking because it just makes it easier. Like,
oh no, like, I hate you, mate.
I was on the phone to my pals like the first time after about 2 months speaking to them, and I called one of them bro. Honestly, like the place was up there, nobody could handle it, but. You need it because see if you speak the way I speak normally.
No, understand
it's a foreign language. It's like, oh, at least you're going to America, it's the same language. For 2 months, I couldn't speak to anybody.
I know, but the boys must have been familiar with you after you played the Shermanator and American Pie.
That's the best shot he's had in a long time. Well done, Sam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's had a good break in my area.
I'm not fresh now.
He's had a good break.
That's why he invited him on to get that joke on.
he got married as well.
I know.
I've seen you in your tops, mate. Very handsome.
Best of looks, eh?
Wow.
I went for a three, a solid five and a half, I think.
But take that, by the way. Take that. You've more than a five and a half, trust me.
I was disappointed you were only wearing a kilt.
Nah, that's not going to cost America. Well, that's America. What's that stuff you were wearing? It's just hassle.
What was the first dance? Was it Fields Half and Rye, you said?
No. the stars and stripes at me.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about do that. America's everything starts with a national anthem, isn't it?
Well, we've seen every sport
and stuff.
No, but everything, isn't it?
Every game, line up national anthem before you start. If you play a team for Canada, it's about 20 minutes before the game. You need to do both national anthems, Canada and America. You're just standing there. You can't sing because it's not yours. You're just standing there.
Well, you're not allowed to sing.
Well, you can, but.
Do you know the words?
What is it? What is it?
When you hear it 32 times a season.
Can you see by the dawn?
See, I feel bad. I can't remember it now.
It's not the best.
But honestly, every game, if you play a Canadian team twice, it's just. They love it over there. So everybody's like, they love the country. Like, oh, America, like, land up.
God bless.
Because I went to a baseball game and we were sitting and the national anthem came on. I mean, there's people like nearly greeting. Like fans.
They're the most patriotic country in the world.
Like, say you had like a tammy on watching the game, if you don't take your hat off and like put it across your chest, it's like, ejected at the stadium for anything, it's like proper into it. You know
what
I mean? Even they're ejected.
I mean, ejected.
You fucking chopped it.
Tom Coates sitting there, man. What about you, Stu? What you been up to New Year?
Sorry,
New Year, same old jacket, kid.
Same old.
No, nobody
got me any new clothes for Christmas. Lynn got me two, right? She got me a tracksuit and a wee jumper, but she knew they wouldn't fit
me.
A wee jumper, because it was a large. Not very fitting, a large. So she bought me them knowing that they would get sent back, so I fucking had to bring out the pretty green stuff.
Aye.
Do you a new batch of that?
You were wearing it, but.
It used to fit me.
Used to fit. 10 days off's not good for you, is it?
How was it, mate? Dubai?
It was brilliant.
So it was you, Jillian, was it a free child space, so you took Hugh Keevans?
Yeah, Hugh Keevans came, aye. But I tell you what, it was a hassle, man. Running about that kid's pool in it. He's got the rubber rings on. But it was brilliant. But I actually feel like Kev now. I feel as if I put a few pounds on Kev.
I weighed myself on the Monday. You know, you start on the Monday, a diet on a Monday. looked at the weights in disgust.
Mm. These are healthy or not?
I put on a bit as well. Huh?
I'm up to about 18 stone.
Oof. Oof. Anyway, we need to ask him, but Philadelphia.
What a place, what a man.
Streets of Philadelphia. What's the lifestyle like over there?
It's different gravy.
Is it no sunnier there, mate, now?
Always sunny in Philadelphia.
Where's the fucking tan then? Been sitting in
I've been back for 2 weeks, that's enough for me to get drained for it.
It's going to look at the white trainers with the white ankles, man.
To be honest, it's not the exact same, so that is a tan for me, that's the best I've looked.
Are you a natural ginger or are you a tinty ginger?
I don't dye this colour, Kev, come on.
Just helps with an auburn, the lights are helping you.
Right, come on, the lifestyle, tell us.
That's class, honestly, like, I've seen that before, like, I might have not played that much last year, but it's like, the life's just different gravy. Like, me and Megan went out. Megan didn't want to come. She's like, she was like the jet. She was clinging to the radio, making sure she couldn't leave. And then once she's there, she's like, oh, whatever happens, you stay in America next year. Because honestly, the lifestyle is just unbelievable.
Different level.
Has she got a job in that?
She's not allowed to work because
you're earning a fortune.
Because we're married now, she might be. Once I get the green card, she can maybe get a job.
So is that the reason she's married, just so she can get a job?
I think so she can marry so she can get a green card, maybe.
He's done well, though, I think he's put second in there.
This guy knows his MLS. Good, Andrew, yeah, I like it.
I'm no daft. We did a research here, Stuart.
But you asked me 2 minutes before we came on. Came back from the second for first division.
Obviously, Stuart, I'm just got to be honest, mate, I don't follow MLA.
I've played more at Philadelphia than you have, man. I've played a bit.
He's at me at Philadelphia.
Aye, you know. Right,
but what, mate, it's a lovely setting, isn't it? We played the pre-season. The grounds there, what are right there, mate.
What part of America's Philadelphia in?
Like, next to New York, just like 90 minutes from New York.
Is it really? Aye.
90 minutes from Atlantic City as well. What a place that is.
Is that the gambling in it?
It's like the mini Vegas.
That's Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire, what a series that is.
Brilliant, mate. So why have you not been playing?
Must not be good enough, no, but to be fair, the boy, as you say, we finished second in the league. I went there.
Why the
second line? Kind of injured, no really doing well at the start. The two boys that played were flying, to be fair to them. So when I got my chance, went and played a few games in that, but they're not going to change a team that finishes second in the league.
No.
Like, we got to wait to the final of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. I mean, I managed to play that game because normally I got a game, 12 boys pulled out with COVID. I managed to get drafted in at the end, but no, it's one of the ones I don't regret it because obviously I've not been able to play a lot, but the guys have been class. I honestly think playing it has made me better because people don't realise how good the standard is.
Standard has went right up, especially in the last few years as well. But like, it's starting to attract a lot of younger.
They're getting away from that stereotype of like
Pele still playing for them.
The New York Cosmos. That's mean like.
Do they play out in that, Stuart? Is it?
Yeah, like every team. It's like every team will sort of.
That fucks you. That's why it's fucking you. They're playing it for the back.
I know. I'm on the channel and I didn't know what was going on. No, but like, every team like spend all their money and getting like an amazing number 10, sort of build a team around him, you know what I mean, where it's like three at the back, but everyone's always got that like special number 10 sort of player, but that's sort of the way they play. No team, like there's a couple of teams that, like New York Red Bulls, they're a bit more like, get it up, play like, Klamala's playing for them, that suits him, like they run the channels, like being like, he's actually done quite well for them out there, but right. Most teams want to get down and play, there's a lot of like South American managers and stuff out there now.
Right.
Like most of the league's like, predominantly South American, Spanish and stuff, but I mean, as you said, I've never known from my playing out for the back, I mean, I think it's improved me, like training that way and playing against these guys when I do get a chance. It's been good, man.
Because you've been linked to you boys, isn't it?
Hearts, aye. That was last summer. I heard it was quite close,
no? No, well, that's what I mean. Like, I've got not a hard time, but some people are, oh, you sort of just like pied Hearts off and went there. But I was the case was sort of, aye, Hearts would have been a great option at that time, but I didn't know if I was going to get the opportunity to play something like that again. You know what I mean, not everybody gets to go to America. Not everybody gets to experience life. I'm 26.
That's young, isn't it? So.
But that's what I mean. Like, as I said, though, America's not really. They're getting away from like, finishing it there. You know what I mean? So it's like a chance that comes ahead. It was a life-changing one for me and Megan to go out there. And I might not have played, but I don't regret it at all. It's the best thing I've done going out there. And so, then.
We'd love to go out there.
I was going to ask you, Si, because obviously you're in the twilight of your career, obviously turning 30. What were you, 6 yesterday?
34, mate.
Fucking hell.
34? 34. Wow. Cutest 34-year-old in Scotland, easy.
I definitely. The biggest forehead as well, but I would never. No, joking aside, it's not too late for you.
To go to America? You fucking get this thing.
Can
you just wait till I finish?
Sorry, Kevin.
What I mean is like, to start your coaching career or stuff, or would you rather try and stick that here in Scotland, or
I can't go Americans, mate.
Nah,
5 minutes I'm alright, but they're cheesy bastards, aren't they?
I know, I don't.
They'll never understand.
Everything's awesome, mate.
See, to be honest, I'll back them up here. Like, seeing I went there.
Look, I'm sticking up for America. You're Scottish.
Yeah, mate. All the American boys out there hate all the Americans that are on the telly and that, because they're like, that's us.
That's
makes
nice.
Us look fucking. I was like, no, but he's a wee bit like that. You know what I mean? But that, well, it helps your team basically.
They're just so emotional, though, aren't they? They're forever emotional.
I was like, the first day I was trying to give a boy a wee bit, and said, no, you need to go easy. That's, you can't say stuff like this. Like,
no, but really, you can't give boys a bit now.
You can, like, the European boys love it. Like, there's a few Germans out there, like, they're up for it, but like,
they want you to spank their arse into the gym.
Daniel Farkin.
That's like, I didn't get a game, I do it like somewhere. No, but that's what I mean. Like, I tried to get the like, first day, I was like, surely he gets a bit, like, no, no, that's not nice. You can't, like, do that to guys.
Nah, it's not me.
The Scottish language is just sarcasm, innit? That's all we are. Everything's just sarcasm. They don't understand sarcasm. Nah, Matt Poster was the same when he came to Rangers, and no, like, the likes of like Jimmy Bell, see, when he was on him for the get go, he was like, fuck this kid, man, hate me. It's just the way he is, mate.
Like, we've got a boy, like, he graduated from like Harvard to like through the soccer system, like the college system, came to us, and like, he's a nice guy, but like I said, put him in like a Scottish change room for 5 minutes and he's leaving naked and going home, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way he's going to survive here. But it's just a different way of life out there.
It just came to us, man. We had an American guy playing for Peterhead. I told us on the podcast right at the start, I've never told you this. So I played I sent a mid with a guy called Kevin Jerzaski, right? So I had a hang at Peterhead when new players come, they had to come up, say their name, age, and their best sexual experience. He comes up, right? Kevin Jerzaski, 23, something like that. I'm actually a virgin, guys. So we're gone, mate, right? So we're like, right, well, you're in Scotland, we'll try and get you home. And he's like, okay, right, buzzing. So anyway, same as you, mate. His first training session, you quickly found that you can't shout at this guy, man. He like loses his head. So we're playing Dunfermline, like third game of the season. And me and him are fucking going at each other. I'm like, Ken! He's like, don't talk to me like that, man. Have a bit of respect. So Jim takes me off, mate. I'm ready to crack, right? I'm sitting on the side. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Kevin Jerzaski? And Jim McAnally, sharp as fuck, was like, he needs to shoot his guff, pal.
do you ever get like issues where if you're in like a supermarket or you're trying to buy something and you use like a Scottish word and they can't understand it whatsoever? Any sort of British word?
Like, stupid things. Like, we were at training and like I said to like one of the boys, oh, do you want me to like, I'll give you a lift home? Like, just being nice to that. What's that like? Like, see if you be somebody who's American, know what it is, that we know what they mean. Like, see if you use a word that's no American, they've got, he's like, oh, do you mean like a ride? I'm like, mate, just, like, I'm just giving you a lift in my motor, you know what I mean? Like, but then it's like, oh, like, we're in a hotel, I'm pointing at the lift. As does that lift take us up? What's a lift? I'm like,
you can tell what that is.
I'm pointing at, oh, an elevator? I'm like, mate, come on, like, imagine, you know what I'm talking about?
Imagine walking into a supermarket, mate, and asking for a loaf of bread.
Well, oh, mate, you'd be fucked.
You know what, Stuart, you're professionals here, so that question that I just led to you led it into the story I'm about to tell, because that's what it did, Simon.
That's it, mate, I love how you
said
that.
Scott Arfield used to tell me where.
This guy's not done the hydro twice for no reason, young
exactly,
man.
Exactly, mate. He used to go on the Canada trips, right, and every time he would come back with an unbelievable story. I just felt how cheesy the boys are, how emotional. If he goes somewhere, they don't understand something. So he said one, but so random, but one night he said his ears were just causing him so much bother. They just hadn't popped for the plane, kept that sugar on, was just, he had earache the full night. So he said he's went to this wee local supermarket. He's trying to just get like some cotton buds to just whack out the earwax or whatever's in there. So he's went in. So I had the one behind the desk, have you any cotton buds? And the woman's like, cotton buds?
Ah, yeah.
He's doing this. He's like, cotton buds? He's like, cotton buds? So she's like, calling over one of the last and she's like, have you had a cotton buds? He said, they're both laughing like, cotton buds? He's got his phone out, right? Got a picture of a cotton bug on Google. They were like, Q-tips. Just looked at each other. Like, Q-tips.
It's not funny.
Like, see, when you ask for a pint, what? Like, I can't get a pint of beer. What's that? Like, if you don't know what a pint is,
or
just get me a beer, you know what I mean?
Like, you've said beer, it's obvious what you're wanting.
Do you know what a pint is? I'm like, mate, come on, just give me what I need, you know what I mean?
They just ask for like a beer, right? Just a beer.
Yeah, it's like, beer. Mostly like bottle of beer into in America.
That's another thing, mate. The old kid on there, woo! Mate, sitting drinking bottles of Bud Light. Bottle of piss, beat it.
I know.
So
I was in there one time, right? And then I tried to find anything, like, at the start, you know, you try and get any conversation started. So I had a brainwave. I was like, oh, do you know they drink like Mad Dogs? That's for America, isn't it? And then he's like, yeah,
they've got that over. That's
for America.
It's made in America.
I went in the shop, like, there's like, I went in the supermarket, tried to get like some normal drink. You can only get beer, you need to go to the liquor store, right? So again, like when I say, oh, like spirits, up, what spirits? Oh, it's liquor, you mean? I'm like, anyway. So I found the Mad Dog. I'm going to talk about that. I was like, oh, you ever drink that? He's like, yeah, I've got a bottle in the house. Like, I use it, like. But they have, like, a glass of it, like, for, like, a special occasion, like, a wee glass of Mad Dog, and put it back in, like, the cupboard for, like, a couple of months.
You know? Oh, no. That's disgusting, isn't
it? I done a tan the bottle?
No, I was like, I said to him, I was like, if go out in Glasgow, boys would, like, have a bottle.
Get yourself back
a glass, mate. Glass, glass, glass,
that would send you loopy, man.
Mad American.
Chugging a Fanta Orange there, isn't it?
Another open goal favourite been in America. GMS went to Disneyland with the Thursday Boys, didn't he?
For he's a hero over there, by the way.
Him and Mickey Mouse felt his arse. Me and him. Took a scodgy. Guys took a scodgy on Mickey Mouse.
He was the opposite, wasn't he? They were too serious for him.
Where did he go?
Constantly on me, man.
Where did Mackay Stevens go?
New York.
Imagine him out there.
Oh, mate. Honestly.
It's a waste, innit? It's a waste.
I know. He's going to come on, innit?
Listen, sorry, I don't know if we can drop the big. It's a big plan we've got in it, but he's not happy with us. Honestly, I think he's trying to bring down the Thurzo boys to get the Thurzo boys on the podcast for 1 week.
Bare ass boxing
could end up being a scrap, couldn't it?
Right, before we go into football as well, we also need to say he did play with Slaney. Slaney's gave you a bit on you as well.
I know.
What was it he said about you again?
Honestly, I went through a stage about 2 months. I was only known as Chris Tarrant because Slaney was convinced on an away trip with the Scuddies that I brought out Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and demanded to be the quiz master.
And is it a load of shite?
Never had this game in my life, but you know, if he wants to stick to that story, fair play.
What was he like when, was it Morton he was on trial with you?
It's not Sapley doing it at Celtic, right? Right? And like, he tells the stories about him and Andre Blackman, right? And he says, oh, this guy hated me, but at the start he actually liked him, but the thing with Andre Blackman was, if you say enough stuff to him, you're going to annoy him at some point. Slaney just every day, mayor and mayor, as if he wanted a reaction out of him, you know what I mean? And then when he go to it, he shites.
So were you there when Andre Blackman offered him a square goal?
Aye, I was there. It was terrifying.
Did he shite himself?
But it was like a week before that, our best up, I was Slaney's saying to him, like, I'm the fastest guy ever to play football in Scotland, right? And Andre Blackman's like, nah, bruv, I've got you in a race, bruv, right? So Slaney's like, he's got the full Lennox saying that you've got the dinner ladies like holding ticker tape across to start this race. Like, I think he's in the reserves, he's got like first team watching or that. He's like, a race, like, so if you come into the Lennox in the big long road,
big long run,
they say, whoever gets to the end first, £100 to the winner, right? So the race about to start, Slaney's winking at everybody. So Andre Blackman just goes. Slaney gets it one step, just starts stretching his hammy off. He's like, ah, big man, no day. Andre Blackman's like, you tried to mug me off, fam, and all that.
Is that how it started?
Slaney's like, no, my hammy's gone. Next day, he went at the chain, didn't want to train in the physio. He's like, you need to keep it for a couple of days.
You miss him, didn't he?
Oh, he'll be back next week.
Be back next week.
We went to Morton. Slaney's that first day, Slaney's that to me. Didn't work out itself, but I need to start a new, fresh slate. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to go in here, just go about my business. First day at lunch, there's an English boy we've got, he's picked him out, he's at Scotland are the superior British nation for sport.
Mate, he says that to every English boy. The guy's just like, what are you talking about?
He's like, on
time, fetching out a brand new player.
He's like, first day, name any sport in the world. Guy's like, football. Sir Alex, next. The guy's like, no, let me, next.
He did that in the podcast, didn't he?
He's like,
matter. That's every English person he meets, mate. He's not right, eh?
Matter, snooker. Higgins, next. That was the guy's like, a Sullivan, nonsense. He lasts about a week there, no for him.
Right, big news as well for Kevin Kyle. Fake taxis expanding, isn't it?
How's that, Si? What's happened?
Daniel Farke is going to do fake bus driver, Gary Holt's left Falkirk.
You're joking me.
I don't know how that ginger arse is going to look on camera.
Is Holt leaving Falkirk?
Holt's left.
He's left?
Wow. You know, look, I'm playing stupid. Farke no told you about his new idea with fake bus driver.
He gave me a wee run.
You know, Kev does fake taxi.
I've done fake taxi a couple of times, obviously. If you were at the hydro before Christmas, you would have saw some live pictures.
Yeah, have you seen the pictures now?
Are they pictures in the surface, do they?
I've still got them on my phone, mate.
I know, but I was expecting them to be published over New Year and Christmas. Thankfully, they'll probably be kept for a later date.
They're still time.
They will go
out. Oh, on that note, I've only traded in the next boxers for fucking you. Calvin Klein.
That was my next question. Who won the boxers for the Christmas? Mate, my mum got me diesel pants.
10 packets she got me. 10 pairs. Next pants. Calvin Klein.
Well, I've seen them, man.
I don't know. I think I've actually got an next one. Let me see.
You did? Mate, they hang a stinker.
A day. Unbelievable. No, but that's because.
Why have you not got the Calvin?
Because
John?
Because
that's
the Calvins.
That's a smell. Smell.
No, no. The Calvins. The Calvins are special. Special occasions. Special occasions, Simon.
GK's a big one at Christmas, isn't he?
First podcast back to special occasions.
I'm not going to get my fucking arse out of the day. Yeah, that is brilliant, man. Aye, but remember, I'm starting work early at 7 in the morning, so it's dark, so when I open up the pants...
Oh, so you're driving pants?
I wear my driving pants. Don't want to get the Calvins sweaty. But I keep a wee spare Calvin Kleins in the boot just in case I pick up something. Picked up a few things over Christmas, by the way. A few people telling me stories, honestly.
What, like?
Aye, it's amazing. So I'm going to need today. Fake taxi podcast. And just undercover podcast. Start... Like telling all the stories I get in my taxi.
What, like horsing stories?
Oh, mate, honestly.
Is that?
And see some of the people that I've picked up that know somebody through somebody, and then you hear stories.
I don't know if you why you keep staring at me, because I'm getting paranoid.
Oh, no, I'm only staring at you, Simon, because you're the host. Right. Now, it's always all about eye contact, but your name's been mentioned a few times.
Oh. Right, come on.
Move on. Oh, good. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh, is it, right? Yeah, so there was a good drive.
No, I know the taxi you're on me.
All right, okay. Right, football's back, boys. Monday.
Unbelievable.
Delighted to have it back. Can't it? Fans are back. No, devastated.
Nah, it's good.
No, it's going. I can't wait. Monday night, Celtic v Hibs. What a game to start back.
First game back. It's actually going to be a big one as well, because you've got to say Hibs look decent now under Sean Mooney. It's been a good start for them. You've got to fancy though Celtic to have a strong 6 months. I think everyone said since the start of the season they needed. Ange Postecoglou need a couple of windows, and they've already, what, have they signed 4 players already?
A couple of windows and a boiler he needs, so if you can get in touch with
Mario.
I tell you what, on Celtic, I genuinely think, and this might be a bit harsh, a bit strong, Celtic need to, they can't hear any more slip-ups now. They're 6 points behind. They've got to start winning, like, consecutively every single week now, because I think Rangers under Steven Gerrard were struggling a wee bit. Giovanni's come in, took them again. They look confident to be winning every. Celtic's now in that home straight where if they want to win this league, I don't think they can afford many slip-ups, because I can't see Rangers doing it. And I think a game against Hibs under Sean Maloney, we played 2-3 games, they've won them all. It's a good game to have, because it puts an opportunity to set a marker down.
Yeah.
I think with the new signings coming in, we don't know what they're going to like, how they're going to adapt to Scottish football. Hopefully they all work out. But looking forward to, just glad that the fans are back, because we can
so
all...
So it was the winter break, was that a right thing to do?
It was a right thing to bring it forward, I think. Yeah. Because it had to be, because I know that the Old Firm game was right in the middle of it, but you don't want an Old Firm with any fans in it. I don't care what anybody says. It's rubbish.
The season, obviously, we had to do the closed doors. Like, everyone was just buzzing to get back to football, but... You know yourself, after about 2 or 3 weeks, the novelty wore off. Like, it's not the same. Like, we played at Aberdeen, the first game they were allowed, like, I think it was like 300 fans. It sounds like nothing, but see, just hearing, like, going up the park and people like, getting excited again. It's like,
a boo, a cheer in.
I know. Yeah.
That's the only thing, 300.
Fit you doing, Niebuhr?
300 Aberdeen fans, you can hear every single one. Yeah,
I know.
I mean, I think there was a lot of pros and cons for both of them, but I think the main pro of anything was, if you're returning back to football and it's full capacity at stadiums, that's all that matters. Because I've seen it 100 times on the show.
Right,
playing on games, playing in games where there's no fans. We played St Mirren just before the break. Because first things first, when we thought the winter break was coming forward, my first thought was brilliant. Boxing Day off, you get a wee fucking drink on Christmas Day for the first time ever. But then you go into that Boxing Day game with no fans after lockdown last year, and it's terrible, man.
Bayern Munich got beat for you. Got beat from Mönchengladbach the weekend. That was a pure fake game of football.
2-1. Isn't it? You can't get up for a game the same way with new fans. It just no matter how big a game, it just doesn't feel the same.
The tempo overall with the game is just doing 15% straight away with any fans.
It's like trying to play that reserve game on a Tuesday afternoon somewhere and there's no fans in, and you're trying to play well to get yourself out of the first team, and you kind of get yourself motivated for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it makes sense that they brought the break forward. But it only was only going to work if she allowed the fans back in, which she has done. So it's probably due to the fact that rugby's about to start.
Aye.
It's not a bad point. What, did you watch Tomo? Brilliant, wasn't he?
Tomo was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Back to where it began as well.
Telling you now, that boy will go to the top, won't he?
Aye.
He does. Obviously, I was working quite closely with him. Obviously, played with him as well, but working quite closely with him when he was doing the 18s at Rangers. And, mate, the boys loved him. That's the main thing. Because you know, when you've got younger players around 16, 17... We were 16, 17, you've all got your attitude, didn't you? You've got your ego.
Aye.
If coaches are trying to discipline you and tell you what's right, what's wrong, sometimes you kind of take to it. But he was such a good people person with all the age groups, and
He's easy to listen to, you know what I mean? Like you don't, you want to hear him speak, so even if it is like he's telling you something, you actually want to listen. Like some people you hear him talk off, they switch off, but he's like, he gets
name names, who makes you want to switch off?
Too many names to mention, say.
Russell Anderson, he said.
That's my first time, I can't even
there's
fucking
only one thing that's going to stop him for that, I think, is why you could end up managing the juniors.
Aye.
Calling football footy.
Footy, I know.
Slaney default, I says, by the way, Tom was brilliant, but he calls football footy, and Slaney's like, nah, I'm not having it, I'm going to pull him up with shit yourself. Said he was going to pull him up, never said a word.
The biggest shocker is he turned them down.
I know.
Mate, what was
he turned them down, what are you thinking?
The thing with Tom was, I think that he's had an unbelievable football career as well, and was a very good footballer. And in the way he played football, he was always a winner. Like when Rangers weren't playing as well, he would be the one still throwing in tackles and stuff. And I think when he's now become a coach, I think he commands respect and he gets it. And I think as a coach, if you can get the respect to your players, it's a big help in trying to be successful, because if you can't command respect, you're up against it straight away. But no, I wish him good luck. And like a lot of the listeners have done, it's been an easy listening to him. If somebody will get back on, he'll get back on, because it'd be good to get an insight into how he does other things and how his career progresses.
Yeah. Big transfer news, Nathan Patterson's about Everton. Great bit of business for Rangers for me. You've got a guy there who doesn't even get a game.
I know.
It's a no-brainer. I think, first things first, we know how good a player he is. There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever, but...
You think he'll go to top, Andy? Do you think he'll go down there, day well?
Listen, it's all about if he continues to progress and develop the way he is just now. Because any time he's played, whether it's been Rangers or Scotland, he's not let anyone down. But if you're getting a club record fee for a boy that's made four league starts... It's a no-brainer.
Think
let's
he's
be honest.
There's a first-choice right back, or what?
Well, Seamus Coleman's 34. I read.
Yeah,
is that right? 34.
Watches the show. So watch what you're saying about Miguel. Great guy, Seamus.
The thing is, as well, with all due respect, he's not really going to oust James Tavernier at the team for the next two years anyway.
Totally
is he?
Agree.
No. So it's his Rangers starting 11 getting weaker. No. Is their squad getting weaker? Aye, because they've lost probably the hottest prospect, but they've got, what was it, 12, 14 million at a prospect? So, it's a win-win for all parties.
In an ideal world, you'd love to see your young players that come through the ranks and get into the first team and play maybe 100, 200 games, then sell them on. But, like you say, Simon, he's played, 27 games or something all in for Rangers. To get potentially up to 60 million quid for him, if that's what the figures are, once whatever add-ons and stuff, I'm not really sure. That's an incredible bit of business. And like Andy said at the beginning, first and foremost, playing for Scotland, he's by far the best right back we have. He's been brilliant for Scotland, a breath of fresh air. I just wish that he goes down there and he continues to develop and breaks into the Everton first team, because Seamus Coleman can't be there forever.
No.
And he's going to get an opportunity at some point. I see he was on the bench at the weekend there, he never got on, but good luck to him. Always, it's always great to see Scottish boys go down to England and do well, and him, I wish no different.
Yeah, I say like, there's not one part of that transfer that MD's like not profiting it. Rangers are getting that money.
Yep.
Everton Premiership, that money, you can afford to get that for a young boy.
Yeah.
Plus for him, he's going to a Premiership club. I probably got a better chance of starting there than he has for Rangers, you know what I mean? So I don't see any sort of, nobody's lost out of this deal, you know what I mean?
Because John Joe Kenny played the last game, didn't he?
Yeah,
did he?
Cup game.
He played the cup game, didn't
That's
he?
I mean, like,
was that John Joe Kenny that was at Celtic on loan?
Yeah.
Aye.
Right, it was Denny's best.
But then again, you've got to remember that Nathan Barton's only been down there maybe a week to 10 days.
Exactly. Like,
so, and like you say, he isn't playing every week, so you don't know where his match level fitness is to start a game. So, say that cup game comes next week, maybe Nathan Patterson gets a start.
Yeah.
So, you've got to look at that. But for me, it's a great move for him. I just hope that Everton pick up. Because they're shite now. That's no be.
Is Rafa, do you think Rafa's a bit of a dinosaur now?
I don't know if he's a dinosaur. Maybe he just hasn't got. Maybe I don't know. He's
Spanish
not a dinosaur because
they've had that, the Spanish
Stevie G says he's one of the best tactically he's ever worked with.
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago to run it. That's what I'm saying.
How does that?
And what competitions you got? Phil Thompson. You know, who was Liverpool's manager under Steven Gerrard? I wouldn't say there's been many, was it? But what I will say, they've had a shock over the injuries at Everton.
Right. For the COVIDs and that as well.
Calvert-Lewin's been out the full season, hasn't he?
And I can give the shout that I've played under Rafa. I can give a wee bit about Rafa.
Yes, he's dropped in. Do you know what a bit about him?
You should know this before I come in here.
I know, man. But we've only got
a couple of hydrants, you know.
Mate, it was an hour before the show that we got you.
I'm a last minute replacement.
Right, so 10 days after me, Rusty.
He's a wee bit about him.
You said he was a shit. It took me for one game,
but you said he was a terrible kisser.
That's weird. I think that's why I didn't play. Maybe I was a bad kisser. That's what's happened.
No, come on. What about in terms of tactically wise? How was he on the training?
I say that a lot. He's kind of similar to the way that Steve Clarke is, but he's he's a defensive manager, so I don't know if Everton, obviously under Moyes he might have been a bit like, but I don't know if they tried to change it last few years, but he has a defensive, like, I think at Newcastle he had to be, because obviously he didn't have a good squad at Newcastle, you know what I mean? Yeah. But he was actually good. Like, I thought he'd think kind of similar to the way Steve Clarke is, the way that he does his training. Like, everything's very based on, like, tactics. So he wants to get into shape, once they're at, there's not a lot of, like, freedom in his training, but that's not a bad thing.
Good for you, that, uh-huh.
Exactly, that's why I liked it, because that's the way that I play. But, no, but, like, you can tell what I was surprised at. Before I went down there, I was with Celtic, with, like, Ronnie Dyler, right? And I was that bag of jaggies in training, because any mistake I made, he was on me, right, straight away.
Dealing with?
Aye, like,
what do you mean? I didn't think you'd be
fair, like. I think he just thought I was shite, so he was on me, right? Right.
But then when I left... Put yourself down there, Stu. Put yourself back up a bit.
No, he thought I was shite. I know.
He's brilliant, huh?
But then I went to down there, managed to start training the first time before that FA Cup game, and, like, I don't know if he's seen that with a bag of jaggies, but he spoke to me. He's actually, like, calms you right down. He's very easy to, like, train with him, but as you said, it might... That might not be, like, for example, Steve Clarke, it works with Kelly, it was working really well with Scotland, because that's the sort of team that suits his tactics, Steve and Clark, it's working brilliant. Whereas maybe Everton.
Because they had Martinez in that after Moyes, didn't they, who were a bit more free
flowing. They maybe went for, like, the name instead of, like, the way that they want to play, because they went for the boy that was at Watford as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
that's about trying to play as well. Maybe it's going to take a bit of time. Don't know if you don't get time in that league anymore, but maybe that's the issue for him. You know what I mean?
He might be a good manager for, like, Nathan Patterson as well, because for as good as Nathan Patterson is.
Does he need to improve maybe defensively, Andy?
Aye, but listen, he's young. He's coming up, I think he's just turned 20, so he probably needs to improve a lot of aspects, but he's so strong going forward, he's so athletic. Maybe one area where he doesn't really get tested as much as Rangers is defensively. Playing the Premier League, he's going to get tested every week, but... I do think he'll be a success, because see, first and foremost, he's a proper good kid, like, really, really
looks
good.
Looks like
boy.
His game is fucked.
Definitely. So I think he'll do well.
I'm not going to say it's the same, but it's like when Andy Robertson first went down, he was all about attacking at Dundee United. Yeah, and he might have had a tough first year with Hull, but then he learns playing every week for Hull, and then before you know it, he's done what he's obviously done. You know what I mean? So I think it could be good for him.
If
he kind of get in there and make a career for himself at Everton, it's in his hands. It's up to him, and it's how much he wants it. And I think. Just seeing him play, like, you think he's not playing for Rangers week in, week out, and rocks up against Denmark and arguably one of the better players and the performers on that night on that right hand side. I mean, if you're able to do that just randomly on a Wednesday night after not playing for every weekend, once he gets playing week in, week out, you'll see a massive improvement. I think it's his destiny's in his own hands.
Have a few quid as well now, ain't he?
Tell
so a tenner, young man. Do they need to sign a right back now, Rangers? Or Balogun's done quite well when he shifted out a right back, isn't he?
I think if you've got somebody that's going to do a job for you, it's not as if you're going to need somebody to challenge Tavernier, because he's the captain. He's not a challenge before Patterson. He was brilliant. He had a challenge. He was just as good. I think as long as you've got somebody that can do that job, I don't say it's...
He's never really injured Tavernier, is he?
No, oh, but I don't know if I'd want Balogun being the backup going forward, because I think he is a natural. I'm going to give you a name. Calvin Ramsay, Aberdeen.
But do you think it's...
Selling it for that, I like you can get him. So do I like
do you think it's, obviously a sign for Rangers, and you're going to play some games because of that many, but do you think a lot of people, you're going as backup, you're not going to challenge, at no point are you challenging, you're going to sit behind this guy and wait for him to get injured, do you know
what I mean? If Nathan Patterson couldn't break in ahead of Tavernier, signing a young guy like the Ramsay boy, that would be possibly a waste of 2 years of his career.
He might be better to
play. Ultimately, if I was Rangers in terms of business-wise, I'm thinking it's a great business move, because if we can get that kid in and he just get an opportunity and progresses, they could then sell him on again for more money and make a right few quid at him. But again, it's
football
a difficult
changes
one.
So quick as well. You never know if a player like that does go, and James Tavernier, Touchwood, could break his leg tomorrow and he's out for 6 months.
Exactly. Tavernier's never really injured. And like you say, it could happen at any time. And if he was to come out of the team, you are losing a lot going forward. And like I say, Andy said, Balogun being the backup right back, you're not getting as much going forward. So it's a difficult one to say, do you spend a right few quid in getting a backup for maybe something that you might not need? Yeah.
But do you need to be, I don't think you need to be as attacking in this Rangers lineup, but the way they play. So might suit Balogun a wee bit better to play right back in that shape.
Listen, it's backup's backup, but if you've got Balogun in for... No disrespect, Murnet at home, Ross County at home, games you're expected to win, fair enough, but if you've got to park head, Tavernier's injured, suspended. I know he done really well in the game at Ibrox right back, but listen, there was no doubt that every Rangers fan when they seen Balogun was right back before that game.
That's what we're going to have.
Do you know what I think? That's a game that like almost suit him more, though, like a game he is going to have to defend. If you put him in, as he no disrespect to the lesser teams, but a game when you're switching it to right hand side, maybe you want somebody else out there, but maybe that's the sort of games like.
I think it's as well though.
That's why I think you would get by with him, because in their games, he'll do a job, but if he's got called upon in a big game, he's shown that he can defend at the hardest game he can get is an Old Firm game. You know
modern day football though, innit? Like, exactly. You want an output with your full-backs going forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Another player, Eaton, has been recalled after a lack of game time at Germany. Can't see him having much of a Rangers career now, can you?
I don't see him getting in the side, no. Especially with, we're talking about, Kev mentioned about Giovanni Van Bronckhorst coming in and getting an extra gear at a lot of players, probably no more so than Alfredo Morelos. I think he's been well back to his best over the last few weeks, just one player of the month, so with him, you've got Roof and likes of Hadji and Aribo and Kent in the front three, so I don't see him forcing his way back into the plans. It might just be a case of recalling him and sending him somewhere.
Still be good to have another option.
In terms of, if you want to go even longer, Kevin, maybe a direct.
Aye. Because you're into the home straight of you're into the business end of the season, so to have as many bodies available to your squad, it's ideal. I think Morelos, by all accounts, some of the pictures that I've seen him, he's been working hard over the festive break, so who knows what kind of animal we're going to get. He's obviously picked up, scoring a few more goals in December, like he's been player of the month, but we might see a different animal him in January.
Take a wee bit of inspiration for it now.
Absolutely. If his shorts on the tune his arse, then I'll get my finger out and stop my next boxers to my arse.
Don't send Morelos to Bucks Park.
No. Oh, I can't believe I'm sitting here not even touching this.
See that, by the way?
That salt and pepper chicken. That is melting your mouth stuff.
Steve, I was going to ask you, when you were up here, obviously you had a great season, but who was difficult opponents to play against in terms of strikers?
Like the obvious two, it was always Morelos and Edward. You know what I mean? Like, they're so different though. Like, everybody always asked me who's the better one, and I always said, if I had to pick one, I thought Edward was the hardest player to play against, because when he got turned and ran at you, it was game over. But Morelos, it's like he does this thing, like he lets you think that you're going to win the ball. So he'll back in and he'll let you sort of half step in front, and then he just untucks his shorts for Tuney's arse, sticks it at you and he's turned you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even know where he's put. For Morelos, the sort of guy, he'll do nothing like for 80 minutes against you. He'll look no interest, and then he just, before you know, you think you can win when you've got confidence against him, he's turned and he's in and goal. You know what I mean? Like, he's brilliant.
But is he not a pest when you've got the ball, Morelos?
I mean, he can be, you know what I mean? But like, when I played with Kelly, there were very, very few times that we had the ball at the back. We shelled it and then we played off seconds, you know what I mean? Like, you might have played about 2 or 3 passes in a game when you played against Rangers or that, you know what I mean? But it was more about defending. But
yeah,
the two of them were like miles ahead of anybody else in the league. But like, I always said Edward was good, but it doesn't mean like Morelos was anywhere.
Edward's done well in filming since he's been
there. Shows what happened to you on a bit, mate.
I know, some gone.
He probably knows what he needs to do now, you know what I mean? Like, he knew up here he was better than everybody, you know what I mean? Like, he could do it because he's running on a bit.
Why not still just run a bit?
I know, that's true.
You're right. When things were going well for him at Celtic, it was easy. And then the minute he had to roll up his sleeves, he was found wanting.
Doing well. Yeah,
but he's doing well now, and you've got to give him credit for that.
Right, Rangers got a Pitodre.
Wow.
It's not as easy as it was maybe at the start of the season, because Aberdeen look like they've got themselves together, don't they?
Who called it?
You did, mate. You said they were good when you played, though.
The boy, in Marimira, he started scoring a few more goals recently, and that's what they were struggling with.
His pal, American.
I say aye. But,
his fellow American.
Tough game, but as Celtic's got the home game against Hibs and Rangers have got the away game to Pittodrie, I think it's your first game back. I think that's the type of games you want. Somebody break you in so that you're ready, because is it not like a week later or 10 days later the Old Firm game or something, or is that a wee bit longer than that, whatever it is? So you want to get up to speed as quickly as you possibly can, and I think like Rangers have always done well going away to Pittodrie. It's a great fixture, Rangers Aberdeen, and I would honestly say it'll be a tough game, but I still see Rangers winning the game comfortably.
Do you know, see the thing is as well with Aberdeen, right? And I've said it to you, I thought they were in a false position at the start of the year. I think they're a lot better than what results at the start of the season suggest, but every window we're talking about them losing a key player, and I just think Hedges is massive for them.
Is he going to Blackburn now, or is it for the summer?
Well, there's that much rumours, and now you don't see him lasting past the January transfer window, do you? So.
No.
How do they play, Andy, this year? Because obviously under McInnes.
They do play. That's the thing, like, I mentioned, every team we played against, outside Rangers and Celtic, I still think they're the best side we've played, right, outside them. And both games at Tynecastle, it was nip and tuck, both teams tried to play, it was a good game, one each, and then up in Pittodrie, obviously, game of two halves, we were a better team first half, they were second half. But I think the big thing was, they never had anyone that was scoring them goals.
Right.
And then the boy Ramirez has started to score goals, but then they got Hedges back, he's been a big... He's the main
Hedges
creative
player. Hedges is a good footballer.
He is very good.
Intelligent, very intelligent. Receives the ball well, moves it well. But I'm looking forward to it. It's just good to be able to talk about it because it was a lonely 3 weeks there without speaking to these boys. Honestly.
See, when you were at Rangers, Andy, what was the feeling when you were going to play Aberdeen up at Pittodrie? Did you know you were going to be in for a tough game?
Mate, I genuinely think at the Old Firm, every away game's a tough game.
Is it right?
I really do.
So Aberdeen would be just as tough as an Aberdeen away?
Listen, there's levels of toughness.
But in terms of the atmosphere,
you know that Aberdeen and Easter Road and Tynecastle, the three, it's probably the most hostile. It's the most that, depending on obviously where they are in terms of form at the time, but they're always the three that are sort of up there competing with the top two. But there's no easy game because it's a cup final for you're Kilmarnock team more than anyone. You probably took more points off of the Old Firm at Rugby Park than anyone. So it was a case of you knew everywhere you were going to go, it was going to be a tough game. Look at Celtic's record against Livy over the last 3 years. Celtic can't beat Livy.
How did you take so many points off them?
I think, like, for example, one team we couldn't beat were Aberdeen under McInnes. But the thing is, because Steve Clark was that organised, if you play against a team that are going to shell it, organisation sort of goes out the window, it just becomes a fight. You know what I mean?
50-50 game.
Aberdeen were the kings of that under McInnes. Like, we finished third that one season, but Aberdeen were always a team miles ahead of the rest because how they played, they had the players, they had like Adam Rooney at the time, they had like players that worked playing that way. When we played Celtic and Rangers, we were that organised. Celtic and Rangers were like,
struggle to break you down.
They were almost like too proud to try and just lump it. They always tried to, we'll break them down eventually, but we were very good at what we'd done under Steve Clark. I mean, he's shown it now. Like, he can do it against the top nations in the world. He could do it against Celtic and Rangers with Kilmarnock. I think that's how we done it because was he even there? Like, we'd go to Ibrox. Like, we had an unbelievable record at Ibrox under Steve Clark. I think Rangers only beat us once or twice at Ibrox. Celtic Park seemed to be a bit different. They always, like, sort of got a result. But we got a few draws at Parkhead as well. Just, I think it's the way we set up.
Steve Clark, what is he off the boys? Does he talk about distances?
It's like, see everything Steve Clark does in training. It's like, everything's 11v11, but, so you'll do like, a game it's like possession, but it's like wee goals either side, and you're doing 11v11 in shape, but you're just playing a possession
game. So you're in
game.
Your possession in training.
You don't realise, it's not as if it's like shape before a game, it's like everybody walks through it. Just all week you're doing in that shape, so like, you don't realise you're doing it, and by the time it gets to a game, you're sort of in like,
natural.
Cruise control, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's, I mean, Celtic and Rangers think, we'll break them down eventually. The only way Celtic Rangers scored against us is if obviously we've got better players, if they got a better 1v1 battle at some point. But when it actually came down to shape, we very rarely got broken down off the two big
ones. Did he ever cross it in with the Balenciagas on there?
The first time I had a meeting with him, he's like asking stupid quick, like, just say to me, like, oh, no, seriously, the first thing he said is, like, oh, house, where do you live? Or who do you live with? I live with my girlfriend. He's like, what car do you drive? Oh, like, I was buzzing at the time. I had that wee shite car. I was buzzing to tell. I was like, no, not a shite car. I had my Audi one at the time. But other boys are saying, oh, Range Rover, like, shite myself. Because he wanted to know.
If you were, like, humble.
What you're like. You. But then he did say, he's like, nice trainers you've got. He's like, do you like these ones? That's like, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird, but apart from that, I was like,
yeah, it's true. He's involved in the
bar. He was saying, like, that's his full thing was, like, he needed boys that could do what he wanted. Like when he first went to Scotland, I was in the squad for a few times. You could see a few of the boys were a wee bit like we play in big teams. Like, we don't want to just like sit in and let teams come and top us. But I think once the results started coming, I think you did buy into it. You know what I mean? Now the boys are like fully behind the way they want
can
to play.
Can you not buy into it now, can you?
That's your identity. Why would you go away from it?
But what was weird is like when he first started with us, we were terrible at Kilmarnock when he first came. We were bottom of the league. Mm-hmm. And to start with, it was all about defending. But once he gets that, he sort of like starts to like build out and like this is our way now.
Notice that with Scotland as well.
We can press higher, we can do this. Whereas at Scotland at first he said, look, we've just been scudded 3-0 at Kazakhstan, we need to do something. Like, he's got us in into a shape and like we're playing like Cyprus. I think it was Cyprus one of his first games and we're like, we're working that and boys are like, we're playing fucking Cyprus. But then you need to get the basics out and build it. You go to Denmark, you're under the tapping because he's got that foundation and now he can sort of go that way. And I think it's what he done at Kilmarnock took done it quicker because he's raised every day. You only get a week at a time, so it's a more gradual process. But
he loved you, didn't he? Has he been out to Philadelphia for a wee holiday?
No, I think he deleted my number after he got the Scotland job.
Yeah, he got a job, didn't he?
Aye, but then after that, I've not heard from him.
What was it like going away to Scotland? Do you remember the day you got the phone call? I like stuff like this.
It was brilliant. Like, it was under McLeish. McLeish gave me my first call up.
Right, so what, you sitting in the house? You sitting in your Audi A1 or?
I'd upgraded by then. I'd day three by then.
Right.
No, but we played St Mirren on the Monday night. And then McFadden was doing the co-commentary. He was assistant at the time.
Hard listen,
I think I got man the match in the game. And I got like, so he was like buzzing off me. And obviously he was assistant at the time. And I think Cooper had just pulled out the squad. So I sent, I got a phone call on this Sunday morning. And it was off the guy, Frank, he's like the liaison guy or that. He's like, oh, what are you doing tomorrow or something? I'm like, oh, like, he's like, oh, Alex wants you to come away with the squad or whatever. And then obviously you're buzzing. So my first game was the Kazakhstan game, the 3-0 game away. And then.
Did you play that?
No, I didn't play. I was on the bench, but like, obviously that wasn't great. But like, just to be involved in it for the first time was like class. And then obviously I was lucky enough, I eventually got like my one cap that I got against San Marino when Steve Clark became the manager.
I tell you what, unreal for the call-up, but Frank the liaison phoning you. Any chance, big
guy?
Pick up the phone, man.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
but always is the liaison answer. Guy.
Is it?
Ah, even when
you
I...
You would
know what I'd
say, get the gaffer to phone me, I'm not coming.
No,
who were good guys in the... Who's good players in the squad?
I've always said, like, the boy who's... The boy Phil Kearney.
Tom Kearney,
he's
player,
one of the best technical
football
players I've seen. But the one guy I always think any time we go away is the best player in the squad, Stuart Armstrong. Like, he doesn't play that much under him, but he's always going to be in the squad. Like, in training that, he's like, oh, one thing about Stuart Armstrong, he's rapid.
He's quick.
I remember we done,
I bet he's dusted a few times.
It was the day after the game. It's like, we went to like do like a 4v4 for all the boys that didn't play. And it's like 2v2s, 3v3s, I was up against him. What a long 45 minutes that was, when he terrorised me.
But I ask that question every time. See when somebody comes back for a Scotland trip, say who's the best
player?
He was the one guy, like, but like there's a lot of good players. You can tell that Andy Robertson, like, when you're doing like cross and finishing, every cross is just like on the money, you know what I mean? Like the step up. It's amazing how you're only training there for a week, but when I went back to Kilmarnock, I felt I was like the best player in the world because like, you've been training at such a high tempo for such a week. You go around,
you can
are you nervous in see going into Scotland training? Are you nervous?
Aye, I was like, when I was like,
you're getting flashbacks here, aren't you? That nerve.
I'm just sitting there.
I can see.
When I was under 19s, 21s, I was like, I like to think I've matured and became like, not a sounder guy, but like, I used to just be like a wee quiet guy when I went away. I think Ollie McBurney told the story about how they like, they terrorised my room and stuff, right? So I went away, I was like, I'm going to have to like, recreate myself, because everybody still thinks I'm this like wee quiet guy, you know what I mean? But when I went away, like, all the guys are brand new, like, I used to always just plank myself at a table with Charlie because his stories.
Mulgrew.
I was there when he told the thingy story for the first time. The
Yankee Bravo?
No, the snooker story, the 147.
What was that?
On the PlayStation.
Oh, that
one? Yeah.
When he told that story, I was honestly in tears, you know what I mean? But I used to just sit next to him because like, the stories he could tell, him and Snodgrass together, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Snoddy's different levels, aren't he?
Aye.
If I was you, Toby, man, I wouldn't be sitting next to Charlie.
Aye. Nah, I mean. No. At least it gives me an excuse to look bad if you're next to him. If I'm sitting next to you, I still look bad then.
Seating plans for a hide though with some discussion with him.
But mate, see when I said to you about the nerves, I could just go to see you got that.
I know. I'm just thinking back to like.
Were you more nervous with that than anyone else in your career, Kev, going to train with like Scotland, Barry Ferguson, Paul
It's
Lambert.
The first session, isn't it?
It was more so the first time, but then like I got called up three times under three, like no, 10 times obviously, a lot of times, but under three different managers at different points. So I was like 2000, then I was 2009, and then 2011, I think it was. And every single time, the first time, I was like, fuck. Oh. Even though, like, when I got to 2011, and I'm like 30 years old, and I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell, Darren Fletcher's here again. I'm thinking, I played with Darren, though.
Aye.
You feel like you're there for a reason, because you've done well enough to be picked, but at the same time, you still question yourself.
Yeah.
Like, am I good enough to do what they're going to do today? And I remember the first time, like, Paul Lambert, Barry Ferguson, Gary Naismith, like, Neil McCann.
Can't believe you've just put Gary Naismith in the
Paul Lambert and Barry
Ferguson. Gary Naismith
was playing for Everton in the Prem, week in, week out.
Oh my God.
And then, like, even like Faddy. Faddy was like this breaking young prospect in Scotland with a daft fucking ponytail and the big red stripe down the middle of the forehead. And you're like, fucking hell, but you just go with it and it works and... But you're a fucking bag of nerves and Barry Ferguson looks at you.
What's the most nervous you've been? First training session at Rangers?
No, first training session at Hearts.
Was it aye?
Oh aye, easy.
What, in terms of why? No,
because I had not kicked a ball for 7 months.
Right.
I had not kicked one, but you're talking about obviously going to Philadelphia after 2 weeks. I hadn't kicked a ball for 7 months. It was after lockdown.
You know the thing that gets me is like, see when I went away to Scotland and like even when I went to Philly and I hadn't played for a while, and I like to believe I know how good I'm at, but you know what I hate people thinking that I'm shite. So like,
I think people hate that.
But what I mean is it gets to me, like, I'll get the ball and if I play a shite pass on and somebody's like, oh, I'm like, oh no, he thinks I'm shite. If I get the ball again, he's gonna think I'm gonna lose it.
I've had that.
Wait, you still fucking
but then unit helps, like, they don't do it as much anymore, but for Philly, for example, we'd like a day out with all the boys and like
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
See, when you get to know them, and say it's your pal, so say I was like, you were playing my team and I got pally with you. It gets to the point you think, I don't care if he thinks I'm shit because he's my pal. Yeah, and yeah, actually helps you on the pitch, you know what I mean?
To be honest, I know what you're saying though, because like, mate, after that first session at Hearts, they must have
been hitting the box.
See, when you get a shout, something like, who's this with Finder or something?
Send them back. I remember got the Wolves on loan. First day at Wolves training, I got the fucking yellow jersey for being the worst player.
That's a good thing at Philly.
Who do we get him for?
Philly's just like, awesome, dude. Well done. Keep going. Cheers,
mate. Right, mate. If this happens, right, Martin Boyle will be the richest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Now, I know you can't say money.
Money talks, boys.
But mate, you're getting offered this sort of dough. Well, Hibs let him go.
Mate, he must be kicking up fuck. Mate, he must be.
I would be doing. What do you call him that turned up?
You'd be doing the chairman's motor, mate.
Who was him that turned up at the on transfer?
Odomwingie.
I'd be doing what he's doing.
West Brom.
I'd be driving to Saudi Arabia, flying over, and just turning up and just saying, look, and saying to Hibs,
I've read the papers.
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not coming back.
Mate, the money's spent in your head, innit? You've got.
What
money
age is Martin Boyle? 26, 27, maybe.
He looks fucking about 40, but I know.
So he's got to be thinking the twilight of his career, and somebody's going to be offering him 20 to 30 grand a week, and he's on like a fucking couple of Kit Kats and a whisper at Hibs. You've got to be moving to, you've got to be pulling down houses to get yourself.
I'm keeping on a few quid at Hibs, to be fair. But I know what you're saying,
but Simon.
It's not like these guys.
So what are you doing? You just basically begging the manager.
You're having a conversation with the manager, saying, "I mean, come on."
If the manager's like, not having it,
how could I turn that? Don't I change my life? Because that's life. Listen, obviously, football players get good money. It's obviously a lot of money, but that's life-changing money.
It's not like one of these guys, if you're playing for like Real Madrid and you get a move to China and people are, why are you going for like...
Yeah.
Because the money you're on still, you can do whatever you like. But when you're playing Scotland, the top earner in Scotland, apart from Celtic and Rangers, it's very good money. But if you're getting offered 20, 30 grand a week, that is, has you that different lifestyle.
And not be tax-free. Exactly. I'm thinking, knowing Sean Maloney will be understanding the situation.
Yeah, aye. I think so.
Because that's
listen,
the type of guy he is.
Wins for all parties. If Hibs get, they're not back a £2 million bid.
Aye.
To get, what, 3-4 million?
Million.
But at the same time, if Sean Maloney says, look, it's up to the chairman, you're flying, you're going to see the chairman, you're sitting and doing and saying, look, chairman, you can't give me 25, 30 grand a week. This is going to change my whole life forever. I need this opportunity. It's like,
you can't say no to that.
Much you on at Philadelphia.
If you want to Google it, every wage in the MLS.
I don't know
why. Because like the league own all the players in America. Aye. You're not owned by the teams.
Because it's a franchise title.
How gutted are the Scuddies in the league?
I'm sweating here like that.
The Scuddies are on.
Imagine America and a club chatting back into a bird their own MLS. He's checking how much he's on. Oh my, he's on 30.
But at the end of the day, if Martin Boyle's got to be professional about the whole situation, because what you don't want to end up happening is where it's an absolute no and he then becomes a stinker or a mood and Disney perform the way he's performing with Hibs. So there's a balance to be had.
You need a lot of
going, and I think Hibs have got to let him go. As it'd be a sad miss to Scottish football, because I think this season in particular, Martin Boyle's done as good as anybody. 30 grand a week, fucks me, man.
Obviously, it's a different kettle of fish, but like, when I was at Killy and obviously I had the Philadelphia interest, it's no anywhere near like the same scale as moving for there for that money, but still something I had to do. And like obviously Killy wanted me to stay, I was out of contract at the end of season, but you can follow it with people without being a bad egg about it.
Yeah, you're tossing it off, isn't it?
You can say that like, I'm no happy, but
look at Lewis Ferguson, he never got his move and he's went and done well again.
You're still going to put him in the bar because you know yourself, if you chuck the toys out, you're not going to play on a Saturday, then you're not going to get an opportunity again. The only way you're going to keep getting the opportunity is if you do well in the games, you know what I mean? So I think you'll kick up and you'll maybe fought with a few boys, but you're going to have to keep playing if you're going to keep that going.
Yeah, that's £500 a week in expenses. Decent deal,
not
big
bad,
man.
Take that, haven't you?
Three who sent in Marcus.
Take that all day, mate.
So will he stay or will he go? Definitely go.
I think the writing's on the wall.
If the rumours are true, he's off.
Ah, he's off. It has to be.
It's up to, like, obviously, it's not up to him. It's like, he's about to stick their feet in, but at the same time, if you're going to sit with an unhappy player, and as I said to you, they're signing the boy for America who is kind of similar mould. So I don't know if maybe they've had an idea that something was going
to happen. Oh, you said that. So, give a wee bit, because Ibs fans are watching, just give a wee bit of insight in
there. He actually plays a very similar way. He'll play on the right or the left or up front, bit of pace direct. So, he is very similar to what Boyle is. I don't know if that's maybe like
why they brought him in
eventually, but if that's the case, maybe it would have been accepted, or maybe they want both of them. But as I said, you're going to have an unhappy guy, or you're going to get that money in. If you do it early enough, you can maybe spend a bit.
Yeah. If Hibs have signed this American boy in a similar ilk, maybe this move's been on before the January transfer, and maybe this
been linked to a few teams for a while.
Maybe this has been on, so Hibs have probably done that. Their due diligence and prepared what? For this situation. Due diligence. That's a fucking tough couple of words, isn't it? Due diligence. Due diligence.
Check your pockets for chicken wings.
I tell you one thing for sure. They're going to aim in a doggy bag.
Sitting there like that.
it'll be a blow to the Scottish football, because I think Martin Boyle's been a
he's been good at Hibs, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been very good. But no, it'll be a massive blow to Hibs. But Hibs, if they get a few million quid in, that's money to go and maybe get somebody.
Waste of £30,000 a week, mate. G-Star jeans, thin Converse and a Lyon Scott Polo. You still
got it. Is that him, aye?
I don't know what he's going to do with £30,000 a week, mate.
I don't know, but
he could easily live on £20 a week.
He might go for Lyon Scott to Ralph and then my wee horse and Polo. You never know.
Yeah.
I tell you what, what an unbelievable opportunity for
him. Oh, mate.
30 bags.
GK that I live in Saudi Arabia at that point.
Well, I had the opportunity to go to Russia for 25 bags a month tax free, and I said no because I went there and I couldn't live there.
Why not?
I just couldn't. I was fucking like.
Oh, but you actually went over?
Aye.
Oh, I think you've said it.
I was like 3 hours away from Moscow, and the flight from Moscow to obviously here was like 5-6 hours. And I was like, fucking hell, man.
Many meals do you have on that flight?
Oh, not that many. I was slimmer back then, Simon. And I couldn't do it.
Nah,
money, I ended up family game first.
That's
I know, but that's 25 a month, mate. This is...
Oh, that's 120 a month.
That's too much.
That's a different level.
Is that 3 million quid a year? No, wait a minute. 1.5 million a year if it's 30 bags a week.
Yeah. If you get bored, you just log into your online bank and have a look at
just
that.
I was thinking of something else online, but...
You know what to do over there, isn't it? Ewan Henderson's, what a move for Ewan Henderson, by the way. Good football player, though.
Aye.
Do you like him? But he went to Ross County, done okay. But to go and get a 3.5-year deal at Hibs, what an opportunity for him there.
No, I know. But Maloney's seen him at Celtic.
Yeah, Maloney's one of he is a good football player, Henderson.
I think the way that Maloney's going to want to play at Hibs, he's going to suit it, because he's very, you've seen how well his brother's doing, and they are very similar players. You know what I mean? I think if he's got anything like the mindset his brother, moving to a bigger club is not going to be an issue for him, because he believes he'd be able to do that there. Nah. And like, I think Maloney's a perfect manager for him, somebody that believes in him and knows what he can do because he's worked with him. You know what I mean?
It's a good move for him at this point in his career, because he's not going to break out the Celtic team and command a spot there. So he needs to go out and play every week. And I think as all the teams that you can go to in the SPL or whatever, even down south, I think Hibs would be a good fit, especially with Sean being there.
Yeah,
Sean will help him. Sean will know what he's working with. And who knows?
Well, the only thing about Ewan Henderson, he's one of the boys, is what's his position?
Aye.
Is he, he's not centre mid, is he a wide player? Is he off? Is he a 10 probably?
I imagine Sean Maloney's probably got a position for him in mind, because we've seen that with most managers, have seen that certainly with Ange Postecoglou as well. If you're in a market and you know you can get a player who you know first of hand, you've seen them training every single day, you've seen them in games,
that's your system,
makes sense to go out and get them. And I think it's again fits both parties. I think you know, he's a young kid who he's been in the sort of periphery and now he's got some experience with Celtic. You like that?
Periphery's good. And Andy, you've linked it with Ange Postecoglou because yep. he's not. This is it's seamless. Seamless. The word's seamless, mate.
Seamless.
You don't get this in fucking America, do you?
They don't have football podcasts.
So world, it?
Have they not got football podcasts?
I mean, they probably do, but it's the fifth sport in America.
No, it's Pele that does the podcast, isn't it?
Pele and Alan Brazil for the Cosmo days.
Right. It's soccer podcast, isn't it?
Is it soccer?
It's soccer, yeah.
And again, I forgot to ask, this talk is through like a typical day's training. What do you do in training?
Training's pretty not far off what you do anywhere else. I mean, like, it's always the same passing, warm up, like, rondo. They don't do boxes, it's rondos.
Rondos, right.
Into possession. But everything's like, Scotland's all about running stuff. Like, I joined your friend a pre-season. It's nothing like that. It's like, fitness work. It's like, they'll do like possession, but it'll be like five or six blocks of 2 minutes. It'll only be like a 10-minute possession drill. It'll be like everything for 2 minutes. So that's they can go as sharp as they can for as quite long as they can, then they just cut it. So every 2 minutes is proper.
Especially with the people over there, man.
Yeah.
They're all like, it's not
what factory you wearing over there?
Oh, I've got a Tippex.
So 3 minutes.
Tippex.
No, but like during the summer it is like mental. So if you've done any longer than that, there's no chance.
Right, Celtic have dipped into the, you ready for this? The Oceania market.
Nice. Well done.
I wrote that myself.
You need to see the names, but.
Right, ready? Daizan Maeda.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it? Yusuke Adeguchi.
Adeguchi.
And Rio Hatate.
Love that, Simon.
Yes.
What a man.
Obviously, does anybody know anything about them? The boy up front, I've only really seen the boy up, but his stats are ridiculous.
Aye.
I think if you look at, obviously, Kyogo.
Derek Ferguson, isn't it, up front? Uh-huh.
If you brought in Kyogo first, if he's anything to go by, he's took to it well, you know what I mean? And I can't imagine it's going to do him any harm. If you've got, he's coming in his cell, can he speak English? If you've got four of them, it's going to make them settle quicker. Like, if that's one to go by, you're expecting something for the three of them, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I'm looking forward to the Gucci guy. No, the Gucci guy, the one that looks like Derek.
That's the best shout ever. I can't look at him any
other way. People
Celtic's
message
obviously
me like
dripped a couple of clips this week of training and stuff. And he's obviously a striker. And I seen a wee bit of movement. And I thought, aye, this is sharp. And I thought, going one way, waiting for the defender to move, going the other way. And it's basic stuff, but to execute it.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, it'd be interesting to see how they perform. We didn't know how Kyogo was going to perform, or we heard things like he's the next big this, that and the other, and he's obviously lived up to his billing. But these three guys have come in, they've all, like you say, Simon, they've all got great stats and stuff, and
makes sense, doesn't it?
It does, aye. I think he knows that market. He knows what he got. He's not going to bring them all the way over from one part of the world to another if he thinks that they can't cope with the demands of Scottish football. So for me, I think it'll be a win-win, and it'll be great to see on Monday if they get an opportunity and see what they're like.
Striker looks like another one that wants to go and bang them, doesn't
it? I mean, it's the thing, it's smart business. For how technical the Japanese league is, because we've seen the Japanese players when they go to the World Cup, whatnot, they're very technical. If you're getting the top scorer in the league for £4 million.
How's that team just going to
remember when the World Cup 2000, was it 2002 or 2000, whatever it was, the one in South Korea?
When Pele scored down the goal.
2002,
was it South Korea? And South Korea burst onto the scene. South Koreans, with Ji-Sing Park and all these guys. And everybody's like, oh, they're just here to make up the numbers. And they got to like the quarterfinal.
Beat Italy, didn't they?
Or they should have got to the semi.
Yeah, that's right.
And they probably could have got to the final. And then a lot of them went into the English market and all over Europe and what have you because of the. And I remember we played them. And I was like, fucking hell, technically, that was one of the best teams I've ever played. And I feel like it's one of them untapped markets that people maybe haven't quite ready to take a chance on it.
Yeah,
and obviously,
definitely.
With Big Ange, he's obviously been in there. He's took that opportunity. It could be a market that the Scottish, because of the cost involved, the transfer fees only massive.
Mm-hmm.
It probably fits the criteria of Scottish football. Ideally, we'd love to be bringing in homegrown talent, but at the opportunity, it's win at all costs. And if Celtic think that these three are going to make a difference to their squad and give them a chance of winning the league this year, then let's see how it goes.
Great analysis.
A lot of managers do it. Like, any manager that goes, some will take a few boys with him. And this is just the same thing. Only everybody says it's a bigger deal because he's bringing unknown boys for Japan. But if this was like a manager for down south and he brought three boys up for the championship, you wouldn't really be making a big deal about it. But if he knows what they can do in a game, he's proved it with Kyogo. You need to give him a chance. Like, I think they probably will be successful.
Yeah. Big Alessio said that if he gets a job, he's going to take you, didn't he?
Alessio.
Alessio.
you want to talk about that now? Did he come in after? No, it was after the assistant got Steve, it.
No,
it's
Alessio got straight after.
Straight after. It was always going to be difficult coming in after Steve Clark.
The issue is, right, after Steve Clark, all we needed was somebody to come in and do the exact same.
I know, but you're going to get somebody to do that?
No, but somebody at least like just follow the same old. He's came in and like, our first day of pre-season, he's got mannequins set up, right?
Right.
And he's got a bib on like five different mannequins. And we're in shape and 11. This is like the first day of pre-season. You want to do, like, everybody says they hate pre-season, but you want to get fit in pre-season. You want to do a bit of running. We're standing there. He'd shout a call in a mannequin. And we had to kid on that mannequin at the ball, and the full team had to press in shape.
Mate, that's a very European.
It's not fair enough, but.
Why do I keep doing that?
Not that we were like big time now at Kelly, but we just finished third. We said, like, we're the most organised team in the league. We don't need to be standing next to mannequins. We know what we're doing. Like, it's almost as if like he was coming into a team. See, if he'd come in before Steve Clark, we'd maybe buy into it because we had to do something. But like, we know how to be in shape, and like, no training was ever hard work. Like, I don't. You said Decanio, like the chain was.
Have
hard
you done
well,
that, mate? But it was a sprint, like the right mid, and then you had to shuffle.
But was it Pedro Coutinho?
The big thing as well, like, his language barrier was massive. Like, he generally, I knew as much Italian as he knew English. It was proper.
Was it basic?
And he refused to get a translator. He got Donati in, who was like his number two, who could speak English. But Donati also wanted his own ideas a wee bit. And I just, he might go on and do well somewhere. A lot of people have got like things to say about him. I just don't think it was the right fit for Kelly at that time. It was never going to work after what we'd had. You know what I mean? That's the way I'd look.
That old one, the assistant, the manager's telling you something, the assistant's like, no, fuck.
Choking for the first
game. And then his first game, he got beat off a... 11 of John Hartson's mates, didn't he?
11 guys at the pub, wasn't it?
That was a bad night.
Was that bad?
Because like, we were up for the first leg, and like the set, like, but the first game he's got like me and Cut Broadfoot, right? We beat them down there 2-1, but I think I covered 11k in the game because he's got us two basically on the touchline. We get the ball, drive forward, like we're playing as almost like wingers. This Gary Dickles dropping into his third centre back. I'm like, I get this is the way you want to play and stuff, but.
No get the players today.
We won 2-1 in the last minute. I thought to myself, like, we got away one there. We'll beat them at home. That's the way I was thinking. Obviously, it was a disaster at home. But it's just, you need to know what you've got. Like, you know what you're coming into. You can keep it going. You don't need to try and recreate the wheel for Kelly. And then obviously, it just became a disaster for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Three Japanese players plus Kyogo look like miss the Rangers game. That's massive.
How's that?
Because they've been called up for an international.
Oh, right, okay.
But will that have a significant outcome in the game?
Is there a talk about them not needing to go or something like that?
Well, I also seen that it was only Kyogo that was getting called up, but I don't know how true that is.
Well, listen, the question is, if they miss the four of them, it's going to be a big difference, because the reason that the window is so big for Celtic is for these games. Yes. Yeah. The games against Rangers, yeah. And improving the standard is going to make a bigger difference.
Like, obviously, they might be good players, but would you fling... Would you fling all four of them into the first game being an old firm game?
Aye, but if it's a good couple of games beforehand.
Games will win it.
Did you trust Derek Ferguson to go and do it for you?
There's been many
against Rangers.
Especially when they didn't want to leave Rangers.
Why did you sell David Taylor? Derek, he's a bright mate. It's a hydro man.
Oh, dear.
That's a good point, though. Would have played in the game? Oh, Turnbull's not playing, don't you? Kyle
was a massive miss because he would have played. He's the main man, but... The other freaking, you really miss guys that haven't played yet. You know what I mean? Like,
obviously, they're coming to improve the team, aren't they? So it's
so on the thing about cancelling the game because there's so many internationals now. We do it when in Scotland and England. If you've got players away, you can cancel the game. You can request for it cancelled. Is that no a thing here? Right,
ask that again next week. We'll
talk about. Mate.
I think no, that, again I do week. Think that is a thing
because you know because when we played like so no no we played. The likes of Sunderland the other week there, I went down to watch Sunderland over the festival.
Aidan saw you tickets?
No, I was phoning him for something else and I didn't phone that number because the last time I asked you for a fucking number, you gave me his number and you tried to get me in a wind up. So
who was that again?
That was a long time ago.
Kenny McLean.
I asked you for Kenny McLean's number, you gave me his number. And you're like, I need ball, mate, I'll sort that out for you. So when you sent me Aidan's number, I thought,
He asked for a signed Norwich shirt.
Signed Norwich, no,
I says, oh, wait, if you get me a signed Peter Reid picture.
You said I'd be a... Get me a signed Peter Reid picture. And I wrote, I need ball, mate.
That was when I first came on the podcast.
Yeah, that was at the beginning. So, no, I went down to watch Sunderland Sheffield Wednesday. I'll tell you right now, I forgot to mention him.
Ross Jett?
No, I forget Big Ross.
Was it?
I forget about him.
See me, Barry Bannon. unbelievable.
But he can't get on a roller coaster, mate. So there's no
problem. I know he can't get on a roller coaster. But why is he playing for Sheffield Wednesday?
Good player,
anyway. He is
a good player.
See if anybody, like, if they, I don't know if they can afford them, because he's probably still on a good wage. But he could come up here and rip the Scottish.
Him and Sean could share clothes as well.
Mate, share shoes.
Share shoes.
Only two footballers at Sean Brady Gap. Unbelievable. But Big Ross Stewart was doing brilliant. Scored a hat trick that
night. Great to see Ross Stewart. Could he get a wee call up Scotland?
No, I don't think in the history of Scottish call ups we've ever had somebody from League One in England being
face
called
up.
He's a good player, though. I like him.
But he's decent.
He's at Ross County, aren't he?
Aye, when he was at Ross County, he thought he was just like a big runner behind, but he can play a bit as well. He can pop off and stuff.
Fans call him the Loch Ness Drogba.
Did it, eh? Well, no, I remember you, mate. He was playing junior. Then I played against him at Albion Rovers. There you go.
Tell me you watched the, you wouldn't have done highlights last night, Sunderland, Lincoln. Scored a goal and fucking obviously Lee Johnson, brilliant. That is shithouse at its finest. That's the kind of thing I'd have done back in the day.
Chris has been like that since he's been. We used to play against him. He was at Aberdeen as a kid. We'd never shot.
One of the greatest guys. He was so funny.
Chris Maguire.
Great guy.
Slaughtering boys like.
He just was like a pure wind up there. Yeah. And see his impression of Jimmy Calderwood. Jimmy Calderwood obviously. He used to take the piss out of Jimmy because he worked with Jimmy Aberdeen.
They liked each other, didn't they?
And fucking hell, man, his impression of Jimmy Calderwood's right up there with one of the best.
What a boy.
He was good. But no, what were we talking about?
Barry Bannon.
Barry Bannon, brilliant.
Andy's got a great story about Barry Bannon.
I will never tell that again, mate.
Teammate as well, we've done. Big Woodgate loves you.
Big Woody, aye.
Loves you, mate. Aye, good guy, innit?
Can I know this Bannon story?
No, I'll tell you after. When the cameras
on. It's got a Woodgate story in Ibiza as well, mate.
And that's another one I'm not telling. Mate, we've done SWG3 for 23 shows in a month. And I told this story about fucking 21 of them. I'm never telling it again, trust me.
If I ever tell these stories ever again, I swear to God.
Woodgate seems like top man, though.
Aye,
he was the most humble guy. For the career he's had, honestly, so down to earth, fucking brilliant with young boys, and what a player, mate. Uh-huh. Honestly, what a player.
Interviews, he stepped up a notch, to be fair. Uh-huh. Some of the guys are getting on a brilliant.
Uh-huh. Right, Eddie Howe. Wow, he's having a world day. Shocker. Cambridge United beat them at the weekend. I've Celtic dodged the bullet. I think we spoke about this before, but it's beginning to look even more light.
We're talking about signing Kylian Mbappe for $300 million. Now we've signed Chris Wood.
What did I tell you? Sheridan, they're getting Chris Wood.
Kylian Mbappe's no playing with Paul Dummett.
They are the fucking Deadwood.
Can we talk through? They say Cambridge after the game, though. Any respect I had for them beating Newcastle?
The guy done it. I love it. Anfield as well, didn't he?
Ronaldo gets away with it because Ronaldo, MDL's over age. Nah, if you're double figures age and you
even
do that.
Even he needs to grow up and stop doing that, Ronaldo. Just get Alan Shearer or something, mate, and get back to halfway.
Think Newcastle go down?
Especially when you're 3-0 down against Wolves.
Newcastle go down?
Think so?
Aye.
Because obviously the bottom four is Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley and...
Norwich and Newcastle are both down.
There's four of them and there's only like 2 points separate the four. Newcastle. And then there's like 7 or 8 points between
that and the next one, yeah.
So Newcastle, like that team you say every year, though. Every year they'll be the team that go down, but they've stayed up for
Burnley
the last
are the same thing.
Burnley, that's what I was going to say. I'm always at the Burnley.
I think Burnley's time's up this time.
I think you could be right, Kev. They've just sold cows. Chris Wood getting moose for 20 million.
I don't know, but he's got chicken wing sauce on his cheek. How is that even possible? Mate, it's here.
A bit.
Where is it? Yeah, fuck's sake, man. I'm here. Oh, is it? Tell you what, by
it's
the
fine, way. Mate, that's why we're
it. I'm a big chicken wing fan, and I thought.
I'm fucking noticed.
I thought the ones at SWG3 were good, but fuck me, they're unbelievable.
Right, Tony Watts signed a P contact with Dundee United.
Bumped into Tony over Christmas and Cruise.
Right, he's a wee bit of insight, innit? Spending his sign on fee.
Spending his sign on fee.
You'll be getting a few quid there now, won't you?
I think it's a good move for him.
Why? Is it not a backward step?
Probably a backward step in terms of Motherwell are flying around and D-United probably aren't. But that could all change quite quickly with signings next. So for me, I think Tony Watt's looking after himself.
Yeah.
Which at that his age and his point in his career, I think good that's a very selfish but very correct way of looking at things because you're not going to play forever. Has he done well for Motherwell? He has done. I don't think Motherwell much argument. And when it comes to finance in Scottish football, there's only certain teams can pay certain amount of money to certain players, and Dundee United have obviously got, by the looks of things, a wealthier chairman than Motherwell.
But how frustrating is for a guy like Graeme Alexander when coaching and management goes out the window, mate, when a team 3 places, 4 places, and then they can just come and take your best player?
Listen, I agree with you, but 3 months ago, Graeme Alexander told Tony Watt could leave.
Yes.
Did he?
And Tony Watt continued
to... That's the thing with football, like,
I never knew that.
Fans maybe... Oh, players don't show any loyalty, but if you have a bad 6 months, a club wants to get rid of you, like, nobody's going to want it.
The start of the year. Yep. But then, at that point, they never had another striker yet, so you continued to play, kept scoring, and deserved to go to his move to Dundee United, so...
But if you're flying at a club have got an opportunity to bring something that's better than you, they're not going to think twice about it.
That's true.
I can understand why fans get angry at stuff like that, because, it's a sideward step and all that, but at the same time, the club are going to be the first people to date to a player.
I don't think Motherwell would be as affected as the people think, though, because I think the boy Van Veen's very good.
When he plays
in the left, I don't think he's anywhere near as good. So I think if Tony Watt ends up leaving this window, which I'd be pretty surprised if it doesn't happen.
I'd be disappointed.
Van Veen back up front, I think will be good for Motherwell.
I'd be disappointed with how Motherwell conducted their business. So I'm very well saying he could go when he did. But he's been scoring goals quite regularly for Motherwell for a good part of this season. So there was an opportunity there for Motherwell earlier than what they did to tie him down, to not allow this to happen. But they've allowed it to get to January and allowed him to get. So for me, we don't know if Motherwell maybe have tried, but it looks like...
He doesn't know Motherwell anymore.
No,
they told him 6 months ago he can go.
That's what I mean.
He's done himself the world a good to continue to stay the team and score goals. So he's obviously earned his move, hasn't he?
I'd pay to listen to a conversation between Tony and Tam Cox.
Oh, wow.
That would be
amazing, by the way.
Please, Dundee United, can you film the first combo?
We will pay good money as
Tam
well.
And Tony.
£5,000 a month, we'll get the ladies' fart.
Mate, I would let them talk on the Hydro for tours, and I'd pay £30 to watch it. Easy.
The two shows were good, but that could be the best show.
That could be the best show, yeah, 100%.
No, you're right. I like your point, Andy. Like, loyalty in football. Like, Tony Watt's done well for Motherwell. It's not as if, like, he's done well for them. And I think that you're talking about Dundee United. That's what they need. They need Tony Watt now, because they're not scoring enough goals.
It's a great signing. Signing in the window for me, Nadir Sifsky at St Johnston.
How is he 29?
And I'll tell you something.
Dundee United, he was 19.
Did you play against him when he was at Dundee United?
No, but he was good, wasn't he?
Brilliant, mate.
He was good.
Really good. I thought he was the best at Mackay Stevens, Armstrong, Sifsky. I thought Sifsky was the best at the team when he played them.
He must have got the move to Celtic.
Where's he been before St Johnson?
I'm not sure, but I can't believe he was 29. I can't believe he was 19 at Dundee United. Because he was a man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a monster.
He's the kind of signing.
I was at Dundee, so it'd be about 8 years ago.
Aye.
He's the kind of signing that I think St Johnson are crying out for, a talisman to try and get their... he nearly coped out of my chicken wings. They've been fucking all hell this year. He's the kind of guy that could get St Johnson's season going, because they're going to have to find something. Because ultimately they're in a precarious position in it.
Precarious position.
Tell you what, Si, you're shouting him finishing third, didn't it turn out to him?
No, I said they kept their squad, mate. Come on, Gates. Those four starters for what I spent after.
That's what happens, mate. It's football.
On,
mate.
See, on another St Johnson matter, I didn't see it in the notes, the boy that signed the new deal, Ali Crawford, Slaney,
yeah.
They weren't too happy with that, eh? The fans.
I seen that.
Which is a bit harsh.
Yeah.
Because you're on loan.
I don't know if he was there with a view to signing permanent. I don't know that. But
St Johnson for me need as many signings as they possibly can get, just to try and G up what they have already there.
Mentor, that can happen. Like, you can have such a good season and just like one or two wee things change just kills it, like any like sort of...
Yeah.
As good a run you can go on winning every week, it can happen the same the other way when you start losing every week.
They third in them within 2 years championship.
Yep. It's like when it's like a habit thing, isn't it? Like,
oh, of course it is.
When you see you lose it before 3 or 4 games, you actually think to yourself, like, how do you actually win a game?
You're not trying too hard.
I've heard that for fucking 12 years.
I still think St Johnson will be alright.
They've got
good players. I think
he's a very good manager. Don't become a bad manager overnight. It's like having a bad patch.
No, I get that, but the last game against Celtic was one of the worst performances I've seen in the season.
Break probably came at a good time for St Johnson to refresh the batteries, like you say, get a couple of signings in and be ready to go again.
See, that being said, right, that didn't look like St Johnstone the way they played against Celtic.
It didn't. Celtic. That's
they
why I started to worry.
They back a wee bit, wouldn't they? It seems as
though... off them, they weren't a present, man.
Aye. I thought I was worried for them as well. But I do think that they're crying out for a goal scorer. Because as well as Chris Kane's done at times and Stevie May's done at times, they've not really scored the goals required this year. So
I think Chifty will do that. He got a spell at Malawi as well, wasn't he?
He's temperamental, isn't he? I think Callum Davidson would be a good type for him. He's quite a good player, isn't he?
He don't do what he done at Dundee United if he's not a player. But he went to Malawi and he wasn't amazing there. But if you sign a name like that, he's got the potential to turn around and do good for you.
What did Mackay Stevens say about him? Bloody hell, Nods. Are you going to move, Nods?
But some of his language he was using was terrible. Swearing constantly.
Sometimes I had to put my fingers in my ears when Nods was talking.
Imagine you used to say, earmuffs every time you swore.
Earmuffs,
cover my ears.
Earmuffs, guys, earmuffs, Nods.
There's children in the room, guys.
What a man, GMS.
I don't know why.
I've got a story.
Oh, yes.
It's not even a story, right? This is a fact, by the way. Before you think I'm joking just to get on Thurso, right? Because it's a pathetic place in the world. In Thurso, a Domino's van comes once a month and drives in Thurso. Like an ice cream van. And they all queue up for a Domino's pizza.
I've heard that a few wee remote villages.
That's unbelievable. A Domino's van.
Crazy.
Once a month. Even once a week. Fuck's sake, it's a Tuesday for two.
Just a guy with a horn, everyone just comes out of the house.
You don't know.
There's a guy with a horn, mate. He's got the horn every day, that man.
You don't know what that's like. You're obviously a Glasgow boy. You live in a city, Dundee, where you faced you.
I'm from Glasgow as well.
Glasgow as well. So see, like, so myself growing up in Shinrall, I didn't get my first McDonald's at 14.
No, fuck off.
A McDonald's.
I swear my kids like.
Stop lying. 14.
14, went to a football tournament there, and the
How
guy
are you
says.
You so big, fuck off.
There was a KFC.
And then you went to
the KFC. The guy says, the fit my mind says, right, we're going to McDonald's tonight, what do you want? And I went, what's McDonald's? He went, it's a fast food. I went, just whatever. He says, what do they do? He says, burgers and chicken. I says, give me chicken nuggets and chips. That was my first ever McDonald's meal, 14 year old, here, just beside the race course.
So what were you eating for, like, takeaway?
Definitely a chippy, just the Romano's chippy, or you got the typical Chinese.
That was all we had.
You're definitely a mock chop in the chippy, aren't you?
What? No, I'm a king rib supper.
I knew you'd be similar to that, mate.
King rib supper, fucking loaded with salt and vinegar.
That's
a boiling good special after a night.
I'm not really a massive chippy fan, but I'd be a half pizza crunch if I was getting in.
That's what Lynn was. In that taxi coat central, the boiling good just shines out.
I'm not a big chippy fan.
I don't like chippies, but I'm going for the king.
Since he's moved to America, he doesn't eat chippies.
It's more the fear. I go to like Chick-fil-A in that now.
No.
Not a big chippy. Do you know what I like for America? Chipotle. I do like that.
Good food is good.
Is the food amazing, mate? Even around the club in that? Lunch, breakfast?
I mean, that's all right. It's just like normal football food, but like all your wee sort of, like, as I say, like Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, and that's just a different gravy on it. Oh. Like a proper taco.
Simon loves his food, didn't you?
Oh, I'd love
you
that.
You should do like food reviews and use your video.
Get me in on that podcast.
But hey, not a touching Bucks bar.
No, no chance.
We should do that. Go to a different restaurant every week and review it.
Do you know what? I'm actually gutted. I'm gutted this came before the podcast. But
that'll be good cold, mate, I'm telling you.
Aye.
I'm taking, you can take the A1s, but you're no fucking touching them.
Right, Xander Clark, mere bad news for St Johnstone, fuck's sake, it doesn't rain, it pours. It looks like Xander Clark's going to go Rangers, Aberdeen and Dundee United being linked on that. It'd be a massive loss to St Johnstone. He's probably been the main man over the last few years. Terrible beard, but
aye.
Brilliant in Jumanji as well.
Again, he's been pretty loyal to St Johnstone over the years, and he's done well for them. Probably feels if he's selling, he deserves his move. If there's teams that are being linked with him that I can see there, but do you know what I was thinking this when I seen the questions last night? See, in Scotland, the standard goalies are very good at.
Yeah.
Standard goalkeepers.
They've always had good goalies. Eh? Even some of the foreign guys that come over, I like that goalie at Hibs. What's his name? The one.
Messi.
Marciano.
Marciano. I thought he was very decent, good. Aye. Yeah.
He's not there now, is he?
No, but he was.
But Seagrass good. Seagrass being like Rangers as well.
I think
Liam Kelly.
The issue with St Johnstone is very similar to what we had at Kelly. If you have that good a season, people are going to be interested in your best players. It's impossible to hold on. Like we had it, we lost like Sods, didn't sign a new contract, JJ went to Rangers, Greg Taylor, Celtic. Like it's impossible for these teams to consistently do, because you're not going to be able to compete when big boys come for your best players. You know what I mean? I think that's what's happened to them as well.
Who was the best player in that Kelly team? He's in him. Dicker and Power were two Rottweilers, mate, weren't they?
They were brilliant in there, but like the player I think we didn't miss the most is we lost him halfway through, Greg Stewart. You'll know yourself.
Oh,
good player.
Greg Stewart was
Caviar Greg Stewart. Problem caviar is he wants to eat it all, huh?
Aye. But he was, that 6 months, I've never played with him desk in my life. You know what I mean? Like, before that, we had like JJ used to just get us out. He was one of the best ball carriers you could get. Like, but we were, Kelly weren't known for having like any amazing players, but when we got him, I generally think if he stayed, Greg, we could have stayed up. Like, we were top of the league for like a couple of weeks. We would never have won the league, but I think if we'd kept him, he was honestly that good. He could have done.
Greg Stewart's one of the best finishers I've played with.
Oh, that slew, mate, with the left foot.
Honestly.
Unbelievable finish.
If you think it's bad, if it happens to you in a game, see you getting chopped off him every day.
Oh, mate, he make me every day.
He's got the best chop ever seen in world football. I don't care what anybody says.
I'll map you.
Mark Pugh. Oh, what a player.
That remember Mark Pugh, mate. Man, yeah. Oh my but days.
He was comfortably the best. That 6 months, I've just never seen anything like this.
Loved a Kelly Pifo, didn't he, Greg?
I'll give you the current best chopper.
That fucking thing in the pants there, that's the best chopper.
We had Maris.
Yeah.
Mate, did you watch
that? They're talking different.
I know, but did you watch that Man City Arsenal game?
What about did you
Mahrez watch? Was unbelievable.
Did you watch the Man City Cup game?
With Arsenal were better though.
The young boy.
No, but Mahrez was unbelievable. But
Arsenal were good in the game.
Arsenal were good. Arsenal were brilliant.
Who's the left footed young player that played with City that scored in the cup?
Oh, Cole Palmer. Oh,
his chop.
He looks a player.
You
he does
play,
it.
You don't play for Man City.
Man City are a cheat code, didn't they? Ridiculous.
They're a different level.
They two young boys, Cole Palmer, and then there was another young guy. He played on the other side and he was just as every bit as good.
I think that was Gabriel Jesus.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. There was two of them.
Who gang the boy came
Sean
on?
Gorty,
I know you're talking about. Sean Gorter played on
Sean Bradley's boy.
So Xander Clark deserves a move. Deserves a big move.
Deserves a move, but I feel like I've said this a few times today. It'll be a money thing because of the age of Xander Clark.
Yeah,
of course.
So there's no point in going to an Aberdeen for an extra grand a week or a couple of grand a week. You need to be going somewhere that's going to be worthwhile the move because you're not going somewhere to play.
Right, so here's what I'm asking you. You get offered an extra £2,000 a week to go and play every week at Aberdeen or you get offered an extra five to go and sit on the bench for the Rangers? Who you
at
taking?
Aberdeen, you're going and doing that because you're playing at Aberdeen. What I'm saying is if you go to Celtic Rangers, you're going to be consigned to the
bench. But you just take that you're going to get extra money.
Two biggest clubs in the country if you get that opportunity.
You look at Xander Clarke as well. If he goes somewhere good and does well, Craig Gordon's, I know he's still unbelievable, but he's not going to be a Scotland goalie forever. Yeah. He's still got a chance. If he goes to a good club, you're not going to. You have to be unbelievable to play for Scotland if you're playing for St Johnstone.
Look at the Rangers and Celtic as well. Joe Hart's 36, Greggs is 40.
Yeah.
Well, if he did go to Rangers and he gets into the team, you're looking at being a Scotland goalie as well, you know what I mean?
But then, is he a Rangers number one?
No.
But
makes you a Rangers number one though? He's been brilliant for the last couple of years.
But then again, Rangers, talking about Rangers, Rangers have got two, I would say, arguably very, very good goalkeepers anyway. McGregor and the boy McLaughlin. So for me, does he get a header?
Just like you say, McGregor is old, didn't he? It's probably his last year,
But what age is, we got an idea of what age Xander Clark is? Late 20s, early 30s?
Well, we can talk about how old he looks, but I don't know how old he is.
Oh, he looks like fucking he's Castaway in the beard map. Craig Gordon.
See, for me, I have to be perfect for him.
A few more years at Craig Gordon, maybe a year or so at a Griggsy. They two leave, and then who's like, you're talking like Scotland goalies, he could potentially be our next national goalkeeper. So he's got to pick his move appropriate to maybe the future of that, because I think if he goes somewhere and doesn't play, that opportunity doesn't present itself to him.
Yeah, all right. Last wee bit, Derek McInnes is back. Kelly, what an appointment for Kilmarnock, mate.
Unbelievable appointment, that.
Did not expect Dale to be leaving Aberdeen and going to Kilmarnock.
Best thing Fowler's done since he took that role, director.
He's getting Dale in.
Because every decision up to then has been a fucking disaster. So he had to pull in a big name. And Derek McInnes doesn't come much bigger than Scottish football. And I think Dale would be the type of guy that could get the best out of the players. And maybe you're not asking them to do too much to put themselves in a position of opportunity to get promoted. So for me, Kilmarnock.
They win the league now.
Got to say though, I'm surprised.
That he's went there so, man.
It's nothing to do with Kelly, because Kelly are a big club. Obviously, they're an SPL club and you'll fancy them to take them straight back up. But for how well he done at Aberdeen, I still stand by that. I thought he'd done an unbelievable job at Aberdeen. I thought he'd have got maybe a bigger opportunity because it's just exactly where Kelly are just now.
That's almost
point of view, unbelievable.
Yeah. That's almost like the thing about Tony Watlow. Like, he does so well for Aberdeen. 6 months, he gets the sack, now he's taking a job. I'm delighted, obviously, for Kelly to get a manager in, but he's took a job
great
out in the league below, whereas...
Strike when the iron's hot, you're saying?
No, all the time, but I mean, he nearly got the Rangers job.
Yeah.
then it's 6 bad months, and that's how quickly football changes. So like now he's, I'm hoping he gets Kelly back up, because
I've got to say though, France. I hope they don't come up.
You hope they don't. They don't like
the beauty story. The beauty story of Scottish football is our broth, man. Oh. I would love to see them.
Oh.
I said, did I dare though? I'm actually just thinking that day. I want to
going
go
back there in a league game.
Could they, are honestly, they allowed to come up with a stadium? Do you not need to have a stadium?
Find a way,
I don't
mate,
know,
man.
How good is that? They're top of the league.
They'll miss that.
No, no, no. They got beat the weekend, didn't they? Are they still top?
No. They're still top, are they not?
They're still top.
They'll miss the boy massively. It's
Nubel. I know
Nubel.
Nubel.
Big Nubel was a good
player. I watched him in the game against Kelly. I was live on.
So did that. He terrorised them, didn't he?
But it's not just that like a big boy. He can actually, he's got a wee bit with the body's feet as well. He's
yeah, yeah. Is Kelly's squad an SPL squad? I looked at it last night. Not for me, eh?
I think they signed good players that I thought, I think they can get more out of the squad that they've got. I think McInnes will do that. I mean, yeah. Like the boy for St Johnson, I thought he was always a decent player. The guy Hendry that it signed. You've still got a couple of them. And you've got like,
yeah, yeah.
McKenzie, who's still there. McKenzie's a very good player. He's playing the SPL. All the boys are playing the SPL at some point, you know what I mean? But I definitely think there's enough there to get them back up.
Yeah.
When they go back up, obviously then...
I'm digging the players.
You always need to strengthen when you go up to...
Niall McGinn, again. You know Johnny Hayes is 100% signing for Kelly, isn't it?
Aye.
Matt Reynolds.
I think Kelly, it's a great coup in Derek Ferguson, but like we were saying about Derek Ferguson leaving Aberdeen.
You can't put it in front for Celtic and coach Kelly.
Derek Ferguson, Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes.
Get a wing, mate. You're getting tired. Get a wing,
mate.
No,
my point
you're
is,
getting
is
tired.
That you can't stay at a fit for too long. So Derek McInnes, when I looked at that opportunity and thought, this is me to get back in. If he gets Kilmarnock promoted, that's deemed a success straight away, regardless of what he does in the Premier League next year. So, and I think Kilmarnock are run now better than they have ever been under. Mm. Is it Billy Bowie?
Billy Bowie.
So for me, they've got a plan, and I think Derek McInnes fits that whole model of what they're trying to achieve.
The thing is, this season, Kelly, the fans might, they're not 100% happy how this, but to have such a bad season, their eyes are still very much within touching distance. If he can get an extra 10-20% of them, it should be enough to win the league. It's a hard league, like there's. Inverness are a good team as well too. Like, it's a hard place to go and beat, but I think Kelly have got a good enough squad that if they get McInnes gets him playing the way he wants, they should go up. And
he's a Kelly son. He's a Kelly son.
Get the paper roses.
He's going to do Kelly legend.
Is there many
paper roses?
I don't even recognise that.
Yeah, I'll die, but it's
I sound like Frank Sinatra now. I'm going
to it.
The thing would be Derek McInnes would probably on taking that job, I would imagine he would have been allowed to bring in a couple of players in January on loan or something.
Yeah.
So he'll probably have a couple of guys in mind, and I think that'll help bolster the squad. Who else is up there? Inverness, can you see them maintaining?
No.
Arbroath will probably have a dip at some point.
I'd say Inverness are the one team that, Arbroath, even for me, once Kelly go back up, it's great to see Arbroath doing that, but I don't know how good their squad is, but you just wonder if you...
Can
you
keep it up?
You get a couple of injuries, it's always the same. Like, it's going to be hard for them to keep that up, but...
Mm-hmm. Is there many young boys in this Kelly squad that have came through the academy?
Nah,
I think that's always a disappointing thing for fans of Kilmarnock if they think we're going to go back down to the championship. Yeah, we've got the squad we've got. Can we use it as a year to bring some players?
The thing is, Kelly, they had one young boy who was meant to be brilliant, and Man City signed him a couple of years ago, Liam
Smith. Number 10.
Aye, but now suppose they've got another boy in a centre half who he's played a few cup games for them, and like he's meant to be. I think he's like 15-16. But I still speak to the boy McKenzie a lot, and he's telling me he's like, no, this boy, he's a proper player, but.
Gilmore's new brothers might be good as well, don't you? If you have
him, but I think Kelly are almost scared to fling a young boy like in the new, but
nah, probably, get him in.
Probably as good time as any, you know what I mean? Because it's easy to bleed him in, no disrespect to the championship, a league below, and it would be if he waited till next year. But suppose that a couple of big teams are interested already, but you'd like to see somebody that come through at Kelly first, then maybe get his move after that. Yeah.
Right, couple of quick fire questions for him, because he's fucking off back to America.
After I eat my wing.
Best play you played with.
Like it, good start, Greg Stewart. There you go.
Nice.
See, I'd have to go Greg Stewart, aye.
So that's
not Stewart Armstrong, maybe with the Scotland squad or Greg Stewart.
Best against?
I'll go Edward.
Best game you've ever played in?
Either my debut for Scotland or the game where we beat the Angels to get third place the last game of the season at Rugby Park. We beat them 2-1 with a penalty.
He's getting you evils when he's sitting.
Wrong answer. I'm asking another one. Best atmosphere.
Best atmosphere.
Wrong answer.
People are going to think I'm talking shite because I'm trying to bum up America, but that last game when we had the playoffs and the final of the playoffs, we had a full house to play New York. That was mental.
It's up to you, New York.
Mate.
Funniest teammate. Sorry, mate.
I was going to say he was the longest in the shower.
There you go. Funny. Answer that one for.
Oh.
Don't give me a summer.
Steve Clark, you said, done it before you came here.
Couldn't have been that big of you to think about it.
No, it's been. Funny. I tell you, MD ever played with Decky Gallagher.
Oh, mate, oh. It's an absolute weapon.
I was heard he's.
I had a heart attack when I seen
this. Oh, fuck, no. Honestly. I thought I'd done the hub one after I seen his.
No, okay.
I said you kind of class that as the same thing as that.
I remember he was like his last year at Celtic under 19s or whatever, and I just went in. See that way you go in, it's like 14, 15, do it one day full time.
Okay.
So I'd always ever been slips in the shower, sat in the change room. This guy's go to went in the shower.
He's not wearing slips with that, is
no, he? No, he's went in, I'm thinking to myself, is this what everybody's like? Am I the only one that's not like this?
I was the same, mate. First day in full time, because we were under 17s, but we shared a dressing room with under 19s and the reserves. So our captain, Steve's big Stevie Lowe, watches this, mate. You're nervous about it, aren't you?
Aye,
first day in full time, mate. So I sit down, mate, and he just
gets
right off, mate, and he's swinging this thing about. And I'm like, there's no way I'm taking these off, man. I think I just sat and waited till everyone went up the road and then got a shower. That was daunting, man.
Aye.
Right, funniest.
Do you know wee Dom Thomas?
Uh-huh.
Dom Thomas, he'd be.
Any stories about him?
A few, but I don't know if they can get said on here. No, just but.
Put just under pressure, didn't it?
No, just now, I don't. I'm hoping the boy that he's dating it to doesn't wind him up, but he plays with a boy. There's a boy he used to play with us at Kilmarnock, never really played. Sam Azadi's name was. He's like a young Iranian boy. Oh. So he's playing non league in England now, but Dom's currently going. Text him, can only be Yogi at Dunfermline, try to get him up for a trial and stuff. He's that to him, we're at Dunfermline, the budget's no great, but we've got a £3,000 budget, thing that's enough for him. And the boy's that, I'll speak to my agent, but I think I'll be able to manage on that.
I love
his prankies are genius, he said.
The phone call.
He had a boy, he was at Falkirk, Hazard, the goalkeeper.
Connor Hazard, right?
He had him on the phone, he kind of wanted to be a Falkirk reporter, like doing like an A to Z for him for the newspaper, and it got to the end, he's like, and when you go back in, I'm good pals with Paul Hartley. Go and tell Paul Hartley he's a fat dick for me. He'll know what I'm talking about. Who's going out of the hut? Can't even prefer to call me a fat dick in the phone.
I've heard he is funny.
But yeah, anything else? Good boy.
Who's the worst dressed?
Worst dressed?
Steve Clark.
I tell you what, you agree with, well, you might like his style after, but he's maybe not the worst dressed, but people don't like it. Have you ever played with Jackson Oven?
Oh, he's the best dressed you've ever played, isn't
it?
I knew he would say that.
It's quirky.
Big, handsome boy, him.
Oh, what a guy. He used to be the sort of guy, he'd come in with, he'd buy like a £2 white t-shirt, feel like, as whatever. He'd put it in the washing machine with like hundreds of different colours, I'd dye and just make this like tie-dye t-shirt and just come in with his own gear on that one. But,
well, who was good with you at Celtic, first team wise?
Like, Charlie was always good. I remember one of my first days, I put this new Moncler polo shirt on, thinking, like, first day in, training with the first team, like, I need to...
I went
up for a lunch, and Charlie just asked me, he's like, yeah, do me a favour, try and touch the ceiling with that polo shirt on. I've done that, it's came all the way up to you. He's like, fuck it, hell.
sorry, I didn't.
No, but he was really good. But, like, a lot of them are good. Like, even stripper things, like, people like Van Dijk, like you think, I didn't really speak to him, but Alex Bruce played with us at Kelly. And like his kids go to the same schools, like Virgil Van Dijk's kids,
right.
Like, down in like Manchester, Liverpool, wherever it is. And like, he was at Kamara's, oh, you play with the boy Stuart, like, how's he getting on? Like, something like that, you never expect some of that
to remember.
Like, it's proper, like, good guys, like that, you know what I mean?
Class,
like, there's some of them that don't
even care, bother.
Like, some of them, like, there's, I could sort of go to him, Johansson, they were always brand new with me.
Stefan Johansson, with
it. A lot of people say that he was the opposite, but with me, he was always like, brand new and stuff.
Brilliant.
Most important question of all, boys, America or Scotland?
For what?
Dude.
Everyone.
To live, I'm going to have to go USA.
Fucking get off.
You see yourself, it, man. You see yourself coming back here, or do you think your roots are set?
There's a part of me, this season especially, like, it's a part of me, like, I want to prove that I can play it there. Like, I didn't, a lot of people, like, you look at boys maybe go out there and come back, people might just say, oh, you couldn't hack out there, you just came back to Scotland, easy option. I would like to...
You were all saying that before you came on.
Yeah, of course, but I'd like to...
I thought you'd retired.
I'd like to show what I could do out there. Like, I'd like to prove I can play out there, but at the same time, I need to play, so Philly don't think I'm going to be playing, and that's up to them, but as long as I'm there, I want to make sure I can... And then, obviously, if things go well there, Megan loves it and stuff. Obviously, you miss family a wee bit, but the life...
You say she gets on really well with Pelly's missus?
Aye, really good. They go samba dancing together.
He knows all the big spots, doesn't he?
What, have you had a Philly cheesesteak?
Aye, they're good.
Are they?
Aye.
Better than a Kelly pie?
Nah, not as better than a Kelly pie.
I would get a Philly cheesesteak or a Kelly pie.
Aye. Yeah. So, Kelly pie?
No, see, to be fair, I feel like cheesy. See, if it's one of the ones, you go to like a big posh place, it's not, you need to go to one of the wee, you go to like the roughest part of Philly, and just a wee guy being a wee cell, and they're brilliant in there, you know what I mean?
Stuart Finlay.
Top man.
Well done, Stuart.
What a guy.
Good luck, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.